much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let the romance begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Just kind of pinch the tip. It'll split, and you peel it out like that.
We're laughing, and boom! Out of nowhere, we're singing and humming the tunes. Why? Why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because the songs kick effing ass.
Adrena, real quick.
You think it's going well?
No.
Psycho Mike, period. Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Somebody's gonna have to give us some booty.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Roll another one.
I'm a winner and you're a whore.
Just like the other one.
Asshole.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Machete.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine.
I like the width of this. I like the length of it.
Roll another one.
Guys are douchebags and I hate them all.
Just like the other one.
That's real talk right there, man.
This one seems to be about sex.
Wow, I really like penis.
I don't have another cent.
Well, sex is good, right?
Not the way Ralph does it.
And how do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
You're a horrible man.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
What? Wait, what?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show, and it's a Friday morning.
And we're going to get right to your telephone calls for What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. Diane, whatever you do, please don't hang up because we are the experts for the topic that you are calling in about. So we will get to you in just one moment. We haven't talked much about it, but I will tell you that this Chilean miner disaster is one of the most fascinating stories that has gone on in years, in my opinion.
I saw them last night at the Troub.
They're good, right? The Chilean mine disaster? Yeah. For folks who didn't hear, a few weeks ago, a mine collapsed, as happens sometimes. And in this case, I guess the underground miners were lucky because they were trapped in a place that is, I don't know, I think it's, they what do they have, Lisa? Do you know it's like 400 or 500 square feet? I mean, it's not, they're not in a coffin like usually you are.
There's a fair amount of them, but they do have some room to move around, which is awesome.
There's 33 of them down there. And they have not yet been told that they have to figure out a way to bore through over 2,000 feet of rock to get to them. And they're going to be down there till Christmas.
Wow. Okay?
So you get up and go to work one day, and there's a mine disaster, and now you're underground for 4 months.
Do they have that much food?
They can
they
get
can,
food down
they
to
can
them.
Get food. They
well,
have
I was say, the numbers will dwindle once they have to start eating each other.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure they were down there about 20 minutes before somebody started looking around to see who the fattest guy was, who's going to be the first one to go. So, Lisa, there is a small opening, and they can lower food. They can lower food down to them, and it's been fascinating the way they've been trying to roll out ways to keep it. I mean, they can make cell phone calls, for instance. I don't know how they may, what they don't have AT&T. I'll tell you that. I don't know what they've got going on, but they can't make cell phone calls.
Wow, I can't do that from where I am.
They're not allowed. They have all these meetings on the outside world about what they should be allowed to have and not have. For instance, the government has decided that they don't get alcohol and they don't get tobacco, which of course are the number one and number two things that they want down there.
Right.
you're a smoker, all of a sudden you're stuck on the ground for 4 months, no smokes.
Yeah, right. Now, in tight quarters with 32 other people or whatever.
Exactly.
But, you know, with the oxygen situation, smoking seems like a bad idea.
It does seem like a bad idea, and they also are trying to figure out a way to keep these guys in the optimum health because, you know, it's going to be, I mean,
you
for the healthiest.
You can get a doctor down.
For the healthiest person, that would be a tough tough journey ahead. By the way, there is no doctor among the group. There's one guy who had half of a nursing course 15 years ago.
All right.
And he's man.
He's the designated doctor.
He's qualified.
And they have sent down bandages and things like that in case something comes up. But anyway, so all of that is going on. It's fascinating. And every single day, there's a new unbelievable story that comes out. And the one that was yesterday that I'll mention very briefly, and then we'll go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067, is you can imagine there's, you know, as close as you can get to the mine, there are all sorts of people out there praying for them and lighting candles and singing and doing everything they can, you know, sure. like people do in disasters, right? So this miner's wife, Yanni Barrios, shows up yesterday, and she sees another woman with a big picture of her husband crying and singing.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, that's his mistress.
That's how she found out he had a girlfriend?
That's how she found out he had a girlfriend, and now she's got to wait till Christmas to hit him upside the head.
What? If you have a cell phone, don't you call her and go, do not show up.
I don't know. The article does mention that the wife is 56 years old, does not mention how old the mistress is, but I'm hoping she's around 25.
At least 20 years younger.
Yeah.
But this is just so fantastic. So the wife tells the newspaper, Barrio is my husband. He loves me, and I am his devoted wife. This woman has no legitimacy, is what she said. The mistress, Susana Valenzuela, says that she and the miner will stay together when he is out. We are in love. I will wait for him. So there's going to be some fireworks on top of that mine here before this whole thing runs
out. He's
down.
Not coming out. Girl, I got news for you. There's one man who's going to stay down there.
Yeah, that's true.
But how awesome is that? A bad surprise when you go down there to, you know, lend a little support to your hubby, and the next thing you know, there's the mistress there crying her eyes
out.
That
is such whiplash. You're like praying, yeah. Please, dear God, bring the man home.
Save him.
I love
He's the
him
only
so
thing
much.
I care about.
Yes. And then boom.
And of course, you know, of course you're hurt. Of course you're furious. But how furious can you be at a guy who's trapped in a mine underground for 4 months?
You'd be surprised,
pretty,
my friend.
Yeah, pretty angry. I'm guessing pretty angry.
Yeah, me too.
Good times.
All right, let's take your phone calls. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Like to point out, just for the record, no death again today, by the way. Even though there's a disaster going on, nobody died.
When
I'm
he gets
saying.
Out, death.
Well, maybe then, yeah. A pair of passes to Street League coming up on September 11th, the happiest day of the whole year. That's at the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario. Of course, it's the creation of Rob Dyrdek. It's going to be an awesome skateboard competition. The most prize money in skateboarding history doled out among 24 skateboarders. That's your prize. Let's get right to Diane. She's on line one. She needs the mighty assistance of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey,
what
Diane.
What
did it do,
nephew?
What
did
it do?
What did it do?
Hey, guys. I'm getting a boob job very soon, and I need your opinion. What size should I get?
Well, where are you now?
I'm a B.
A B, okay.
And how tall are you?
5'7".
You're going to have to go
pretty
H.
Pretty tall.
H. You have to go H for Heidi. That's what you got to do.
Shoot for H.
Well, you are lucky at 5'7" that you've got, you know, you can support some big girls.
Yeah.
You have a husband or a boyfriend?
I have a husband.
And what's he saying? What's his opinion?
He's thinking a D, but I don't know. That seems kind of big. What do you guys think?
No.
Well, I think you could pull off a D, but I will tell you, and maybe Lisa can speak more to this, because you have friends with Ds.
Yeah.
It's not always a barrel of laughs for the lady, right?
That is true. Sometimes, although, I mean, at 5'7", it's probably
D,
fine. But if you're really athletic and stuff, it can get in the way.
Here's the danger. Here's the danger. The danger is that you're going to do it, and then, 6 months from now, you're going to go, wow, this is a little too small. So you need to shoot bigger.
Really?
Yeah, but bigger than you feel is right.
Can't they do that thing where they make them a certain size, and then if you want, they can put a little more in?
I haven't heard of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do. Kevin is, it sounds like he's joking, but doctors do say that people tend to underestimate how much they want, and then they do want them to get a little bit bigger.
I was joking.
That's right. For reals. Yeah, I think a D sounds reasonable.
A D, yeah.
I do. I think it sounds reasonable. Make your man happy. Sounds like you can support it with your size. I think you'd be fine
with
that.
Well, let me ask you: are you doing this because you really dislike the size, or you dislike the shape and just generally the way they look?
Yeah, just the shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. I'm getting bigger. The sense that the size is not that big a thing, so a C would probably be fine. I know you guys hate me for that, but I think she just wants him to be perky and a little bit bigger.
Yes, I
don't listen. Don't listen to the pretty lady.
Don't dance around this. How much you weighing?
I'm weighing 120.
Oh, you're thin.
She's crazy.
Yeah, you're
thin.
You're a little girl. I
a D would look stupid.
I hate to say this, but you
then
may
don't.
Want to
then don't.
You may want to top out a D.
Oh,
yeah.
Top out at a D? Yeah.
I mean, like, that should be your ceiling.
Even then, they're going to look like bolt-ons.
If you're 5'7", 170, you want to go K. Because you're a fat pig and you want to, you know, even it out. Yeah.
Sure.
But
I don't know how we're supposed to make this kind of decision without all of the information. I mean, if without a photo.
Want me to come down there?
No. You know what I mean? Is email a photo. I mean, I don't know how else we're supposed to really judge. We take this very seriously. We want to give you a very accurate answer.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So
I'll send you a photo.
All right.
Please do.
Full nudes. Full nudes.
Of course, it's got to be naked. Obviously, we need to see what we're talking about. But keep in touch. Let us know how it's going. All right.
Okay. I'll go with the D. I'm thinking.
Okay. D's the way to go then. Right. Fantastic. Right.
Thank you.
Wow. We just somewhere an angel just got his wings. Right. Let's try Josh. He's calling on a very sad occasion today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on line 3. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Love you, Lisa.
Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, I just wanted to check and see, did she ever make good on her jumping jacks, Miss Cleo?
Oh.
What do you think?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that thing where you're supposed to raise money, did it ever work out?
We didn't get quite enough, and right. So she was not compelled to do it. Hey, Miss Cole.
Good morning.
This is her final day, too. She's leaving. So.
Oh, she's here right now? Here?
Yeah.
Good morning, Josh.
Well, bye, Miss Cleo. I'm going to really miss you.
Oh, well, thank you, Josh. That's very sweet. Go take a Samantha and get your jumping jacks.
I think the world needs to see that. I mean, we're going to miss you a lot.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you or us. It's the world.
The world, exactly. Right. Do it for the Chilean miners.
Exactly, you know?
Look, here's the thing you got to know about Miss Cleo. We love her. She's part of the family, although we hope to never talk to her again after today. But she basically skated out of that one. She made a promise, said she was going to do something, and then just basically lied, turned her back on humanity and God.
Too, you know.
Whatever you just said, I'm with you there, Josh.
Yeah, we're with you on that.
Thanks for the call. We do have a touching tribute to Miss Cleo later on. We will say goodbye later on, but today is her last day. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. She's escaping. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Look at that pretty little head of yours working up ideas. I'm a fan.
We have Adam Carolla in the studio today, this week in range. As it is Friday, we have LaQuisha talking about the Jersey Shore.
Now, last night was supposed to be, I didn't watch the show, but last night was supposed to be the battle between JWoww and Sammy. I think they threw down. It was a fight last night.
Ooh.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. LaQuisha's going to be very excited.
We have the movie beat with Ralph because it's Friday. We have, Bean has been roped into doing something that none of us thought he would ever get roped into, which is going to a high school reunion with his wife. Because if you're married to Bean and you're going to your high school reunion, you get a sub.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yes.
You get a stunt man. You get somebody
absolutely.
To step in. You don't bring
Psycho Mike, good-looking, young, buff Psycho Mike, offered to go with her, and she still wanted me to go instead.
And she likes him.
Yes. Huh. And she's more likely to get sex from him.
Maybe this is more about her than you, even.
Maybe this is about pity.
Oh.
Pity.
Maybe she's looking for some sympathy from her classmates.
Donna, I'm so sorry. I didn't
even see that angle, Lisa. Thank you.
And also, we have your tickets for Breakfast with Linkin Park on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for tuning into the Friday edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. Woo! Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. And I understand a gift for your people today.
Well, you know the way I keep the listeners on my side. I give them stuff.
Bribery?
Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm just whoring myself for their love. And so I've got passes to give away to the premiere of a very funny film that I think you're going to enjoy enormously. It comes from the brilliant minds of Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. They are the producers of a movie called The Virginity Hit, about four young men, one of which is a virgin, and his buddies try to help him lose his virginity. But in exchange for all this hard work, they do videotape everything that goes on and then post the journey on YouTube as things go along.
This movie's gonna suck.
How dare you,
sir? Sounds good. Come on.
That, as you can imagine, that complicates things for the virgin while all of his failures are being posted up on YouTube.
Sure.
It's not ideal. The Virginity Hit is coming to theaters on the 10th of September. You get to see it before anybody else, though, if you're Lucky caller number 1 through 5.
Wow. Dude, it's Miss Cleo's last day. Make it caller 200.
Okay.
Come on.
All right, caller 200. No, that's cruel. Caller, the first five callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067 will be the recipients of a pair of passes to attend the premiere of The Virginity Hit.
This movie's going to check.
Movie. Let's all play things. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Here's a problem that may come up in court with Paris Hilton's It's Not My Purse defense regarding her cocaine bust.
Okay.
Turns out that if you look at her Twitter account, oh, let's say mid-July or so this summer,
uh-oh,
you see Paris carrying the exact same bag that she was carrying when she got popped in Vegas for the cocaine possession.
That's
maybe she
so
borrowed it again.
Funny.
It's identical to the one she was carrying last weekend in Vegas. And now people are speculating how she will play off the, oh, I borrowed this from a friend defense, when in reality she's been seen carrying it other times, other places.
She said it's not expensive.
It's too cheap. She said it was too cheap
so
for me to be
true
caught carrying.
Can't interesting.
It's only a couple $1,000, that purse.
Couple.
Yeah. What is it? It's a Chanel bag or something like that? Couldn't she claim that she left hers in L.A., but it would go so well with this outfit? Can I borrow yours since you have the same purse?
I suppose. If
she can
find
claim
someone
anything,
to lie to that effect for
and,
her.
And claim the cocaine.
That's right, yeah. The person would have to say, yes, it's my bag, and yes, it was my cocaine.
Yeah.
And yes, yep. Paris is writing me a huge check for
yeah
this.
Exactly.
Look, I'd be willing to do a little time if Paris would write me, you know, check for a mil.
Sure.
I'll go inside for a couple weeks. Whatever it takes, man. Speaking of bags, here's one of the many things I don't understand about women.
Okay.
The fascination with the high-priced bag.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I think there are some things in life that the quality is directly correlated to the cost. I think in often cases, a meal, for example. Usually, if you go to a restaurant and you're paying a higher price, you usually get a better quality meal. That seems to fall in line for
sure
me. But there are some things, and I think cars also fall under that category. Seems like, the nicer the car, the nicer the ride, the better built a car, the more expensive it may be. But there are some things in life, and I always used to have this argument with our old producer, Lightning. For example, the watch. A watch.
Right.
There is very little difference in the actual function of a watch from a Citizen or a Timex or something you can pick up for $100 or so to the $50,000 watch some people choose to buy. Inexplicable to me, that difference in cost. Which leads me back to the bag. The bag's purpose is to carry junk, right?
Yes.
Not junk. Your stuff.
All right, your stuff.
Okay, fine. Carry stuff.
Fine, that's fine.
Let's call it stuff.
I'm not going to defend spending $10,000 on a purse.
All right, so that's his point.
Or even five. I don't have that kind of money. But you do have a bag with you all the time, every day. And
yeah,
it's a very personal thing, and to have a bag you love, I don't know, it just makes it more fun to go through the day.
And only things that are expensive worth loving. That's what you're saying.
No.
I understand. No. Love can only be purchased with thousands of dollars. You can't love something that isn't really expensive.
I can really like my $50 purse, but I'm never going to love my $50 purse.
All right, so let's say you have a $1,000 purse and a $5,000 purse. $5,000 purse doesn't hold things better,
right?
No, but I'm guessing a lot of people know it's a $5,000 purse.
Oh,
I see.
It's about the hey, look
there's
at me.
There's a little bit of that, yeah.
I see.
Having right the newest, latest, whatever, yeah.
Well, this brings me to my next story, which is from Us Weekly Magazine, which has photos of various actresses leaving the gym. Now, you know what you carry in your gym bag?
I know what
that smell poorly.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
They've got Molly Sims, who doesn't smell at all. She smells like roses.
That's right.
And
even
cotton
when she
candy,
sweats.
Even
yeah
when she sweats. Mm-hmm. But she's carrying a Mulberry bag worth $1,350 with her gym stuff in it.
Wow.
That's just throwaway
That's
money for her.
Gym stuff. Wow. Amanda Seyfried from Big Love and Mamma Mia. She's got a Valentino bag in the photo worth over $2,690. To carry sneakers and a sweaty towel. And Sofia Vergara,
she can do whatever she wants.
Can do whatever she wants and does. Apparently, she is leaving a Pilates class in this photo, carrying a $9,000 Hermé bag. Wow.
And it should, she should do that. That's fine.
$9,000 gym bag.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
Just buying a $9,000, well, I mean, maybe it's like, I don't know.
But if you're making lots of money and you're a star, you are expected to have a really nice, expensive purse.
But I would say
I've seen
that's
women
the
ex- do some very nutty stuff, illogical things that a man would never do.
True. If the expectation of me is to buy a $9,000 purse, I'd say, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm going to take that $9,000 and do something else with
well,
it.
Well, you certainly can, but I mean, it's like...
Thank you, Kevin, for noticing, by the way.
It's like George Clooney. He's not wearing a Timex worth $50.
No,
this is not.
I'm just saying. It just carries stuff.
I understand.
So the rich are not just like us, then.
They are not just like us.
That's correct. Okay.
Despite whatever the tabloids may say.
Because we don't have a $9,000 gym bag.
That's right. I'm getting one. I'm selling my car and buying a $9,000 gym bag.
It is a car.
And then people will love me. Then everyone will look at me and say, that person is somebody. Look at his bag.
Yeah, he's getting on a bus, but he's got a hell
look
of a bag.
His bag. That's what I say. Wow. Here's my bag. This is worth thousands right here.
That's a nice bag.
But $5,000 on this one and $5,000 on that one. There's my bag. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Todd Lewis of the Toadies is 45 years old today.
Come on, the Toadies.
Hey, come on, the Toadies.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen celebrates his 45th birthday. U.S. softball legend Jenny Finch.
Oh.
Is 30 years old today. And Olympic gold medalist Shaun White. The Flying Tomato, as he's known in some circles, celebrates his 24th birthday today. What has that guy accomplished in 24 years?
He's already done all that.
That you will never accomplish in your whole entire life.
He's had a complete career at this point.
Yes, and then some. So, I guess happy birthday to you, but I say it begrudgingly, Shaun White. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What is this? Are we going to make fun of me now? Is that what this is all about?
Well, no. Well, yeah, but no. The focus isn't on you, but you put in this situation is all bad.
It is
all
right. Funny.
This is the Kevin Abid Show on a Friday. By the way, I'd like to hear that Bjork song again as soon as we get an opportunity. Your chance to win tickets for Breakfast with Linkin Park minutes away. Also, our farewell to Miss Cleo on the show today. Ralph Scott, the Movie Beat, and Adam Carolla joins us. Look, hear my whole thing. Picture you're married to me, okay, first of all.
Nope.
Everyone in their cars or listening at home right now has just had they realize that my wife Donna, God bless her, her life is a living hell and a joyless farce, right? I mean, there can be no happiness for that woman, right? She's married to Bean, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's you guarantee that.
And I'm no guy, so every time Donna wants to go out and do things and go places and hang out with people, I'm no, right? Bean's, that's me, I'm no.
Bean's gotten a lot worse to it that he used to be better. But even like 10 years ago, she would invite people over to the house and he would literally, and I'm not joking, he would call them back and uninvite them.
I know for a fact that that is
he
true.
He would say, you know what, that party that Donna was talking about, we're not having
doing
that.
That.
So don't
so
worry
don't
about it.
Don't show up.
Yeah.
I have also put on my pajamas and gone to bed when we've had people over to our house. I've done that.
Wow.
I don't like
what a tool.
I don't like people. I wear my sunglasses inside.
Right.
I don't like people. I don't like things. I don't like fun. You know that. So, especially the last year has been really hell at my house because my wife has fallen in love with tango. She's fallen in love with the dance.
Really?
And she has a group of friends that she goes with. She has a wonderful time. But every single week, she weeps because her husband won't go dancing with her because she wants to dance with me, right? Because that's what girls do, right?
You might as well play in the NFL if you're going to tango.
Right. So I'm already going into this on very, very thin ice. So when the occasion of my dear wife's high school reunion came up and she said, well, you have to go with me. Of course, my initial reaction was no, right? Because I'm no. That's me. I'm no. And apparently, and Kevin was stunned that I got roped into doing this,
yes.
But apparently, and please tell me if I'm wrong, people, 99% of people bring their spouses to the high school reunion, and that is part of the experience for the people who go to a high school reunion is to get reacquainted with the person you knew from high school, maybe you've lost touch with, and ask questions, find out what they're up to, and meet their husband or wife. That's part of the deal, is it's a couple's event.
I guess, yeah.
And apparently, you're a big loser if you show up and you don't have a spouse with you, if you're married.
Okay.
Apparently.
Right. I like people, and I like going out, and I love social situations, and I hate high school reunions. That's a terrible thing.
I went to one.
Horrible.
And I would never go again.
Especially,
yours or somebody else's, Lisa?
No, I went to mine.
You went to yours.
I never go to somebody else's.
Right, so Bean has to go to Donna's reunion where he knows no one.
No one, right. And that's the and that was
You're
the,
just gonna
the first,
be standing there the whole
the first
night.
Thing the very first thing that I came up with that I thought was reasonable, but logic doesn't apply in this situation is look, this is a great night for you. This is going to be really fun for you because you're going to see lots of people you haven't seen in a long time or people you've reconnected with through Facebook over the, you know, recent years. And you're going to have a great time talking about the old days. I don't know any of these people. I can't contribute to any of those stories. It's, I mean, I'm really a waste of space at an event like this. It's not for me.
Worse.
Right?
You're not a waste of space. You're a black cloud.
That is true.
So I did try that and I did think that that sounded reasonable. But I guess people want to go into their high school reunion and they want to have their husband or wife. Maybe they want to, you know, maybe they want to introduce them around and say, here's where I'm at. All you right. know, this is the snapshot of my life in 2010.
But here's my question. Isn't this just, aren't most of the people who go to high school reunions, and I don't know, I'm just guessing on this, aren't they all just trying to go, hey, look, everybody, I turned out pretty well, and look at my husband or wife.
It's either that.
And my job, and I'm important.
Right. It's either that, or they actually genuinely still have lots of friends from high school.
And Donna does, because, especially because okay. of Facebook. She has reconnected with a dozen people that she was really close with that she hasn't seen. So, I mean, I don't begrudge her wanting to go. I get why she wants to go. It's her hometown where she hasn't been in a long time, and she's got a lot of people she hasn't seen in a long time. I get that. I don't see what I bring to the party, I'll tell you that. But that's true
cloud.
Of every party, I guess, right?
That's what you bring to it. It's a literal negative.
It's no longer a party.
I hate to say this.
B takes the party out of party.
I hate to say this.
Yes.
But your wife, she wants to update people. And you said she's now rekindled relationships that she's had, you know, through Facebook and things like that. And she wants to update people on what her life is like now. And I hate to say this, Bean, but you are a positive sign of what her life has become. You're very smart.
She wouldn't agree with that. She wouldn't agree with that. I'm the worst part of her life. Are you kidding me, Mike?
He's not a positive.
Bean's incredibly successful. Bean is very smart, whether we like to admit it or not. And when he is putting on that show for his wife, can be very interesting and fun to be around.
But is he going to wear the checkered shirt that looks like a tablecloth?
Yes,
and the
he's
going to
wear the cowboy shirt.
Lisa May, you hit on something. My next question. Are you going to listen to your wife, who has excellent style, and actually dress up for once, or are you going to be Bean and then be the "Hey, look at me" guy? I have my Roy Rogers vintage shirt from the Cracker Barrel.
First of all, that's not "Hey, look at me." That's me just wearing something that
that's
I'm comfortable
Goober
with.
Bean.
That's me dressing up to the top of my ability.
But you can understand that to other people, that's
yes,
not dressing up.
Of course,
okay. And it's certainly not impressing your wife's friends.
I have no option in what I'm going to wear. Believe
okay.
me,
all right.
it's been picked out for me, and it's a suit, and I'm going to that just compounds the misery by a hundredfold.
Yeah, but you clean up pretty good.
Nothing's
no.
worse than a
he
suit,
does.
Though. Nothing, right? So I guess the reason we bring it up is how bad can it get is, I guess, what I want to know. What's the floor of how bad this evening is going to be at a high school reunion? I know that there are a lot of people out there who have been to high school reunions. I want to hear from you, your high school reunion disaster stories. So at least, no matter how bad mine is, my weekend is when I have to go Saturday night, at least I can come back afterwards. Well, it wasn't as bad as Paul and Pomona's.
Yeah, well, sure. But the problem here is that you're the one that's going to make it bad.
Yes.
Oh, I hope not.
No, because you hate those situations so much that you do just kind of... You're dour and you're just, you know, you're bummed. You don't want to be there. You're
and
miserable.
Here's the thing. If you don't want to be somewhere...
Yeah,
I'm just
I hear
thinking
you.
About, can we go now? Can we go now? Is it done? Is it done? I mean, won't you be miserable?
Look, this is all I've heard about for the last month is you're going to be there and you're going to have a good time and you're going to be fun and you're going to be charming and you're going to be nice and you're going to be talking. I mean, I'm hearing all of this. Believe
me. Has
she
not met you?
That's what I say. I said, have you not met me? And she says, I ask you to do so little. Well, I ask you to do a lot. You do so little. This is one that I'm insisting on.
And here's
so I didn't have a choice.
Producer Alex dug up a list, 7 lies you should tell at your high school reunion. Because basically, if you're going there, you want people to think that you're successful and happy and you made something of your life, right?
Very few people who are fat failures go to their high school reunions.
Right.
That is true. And by the way, Kevin will give you this list, but then we want to hear from you with your high school reunion disaster stories, whether you were the invitee or the invitee's spouse. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067.
You'd like to tell them what you do for a living, but it's secret and you can't if you had to, you know, it's one of those.
Oh,
it's a
I
very important it. Job, but I'm just not allowed to talk about
right.
it.
That's
I wonder if anyone would buy that.
Number 2, in college you dabbled in porn. That's out.
Oh, don't do that or do that?
Do that, yeah. These are lies that you should tell.
Okay.
See, here's the thing. Most people aren't interesting.
So this is how
you have to spice it up a little bit and make people think that you're on graduation night you slept with a teacher.
All right.
So, Bean, why don't you say you slept with one of Donna's teachers? Number four, you were drunk, stoned every day of senior year. That's a good lie to tell, even if you weren't, just because it makes you, you know.
Makes you interesting. Sounds interesting.
You donated a big chunk of dough to the school. I don't know that that helps much.
That sounds stupid.
That guy that you all hated, totally a pedophile. That one you should go with.
Oh, maybe that's what I should do, is just make up stories about everybody in Donna's class and just try to get them spread the rumors.
I saw him on with Chris Hansen. That's I don't know about that guy. And then the last one is you always had a crush on fill in the hot chick here. Whoever the hot chick is, there you go. Oh, I always had a crush on you.
Maybe I should try to nail someone in Donna's class. Maybe that should be the answer.
I'll
never be invited back to another high school reunion.
That would take care of your entire future.
It certainly would. But I'd be living in that cardboard box starting Monday. That'd be so fun.
No, that would mean that you would have to accomplish the task. You know what I mean?
All right. Listen, Ty, you hang on, and we'll take everyone's call at 1-800-520-1067. High school reunion disasters. I don't think we've ever had this topic on before, and I know there's a lot of great stories. We'll take them right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ordinarily, I'd be looking forward to a nice, long, peaceful Labor Day weekend. Instead, I'm getting on a plane, flying to somewhere where it's 150 degrees, and putting on a monkey suit to go to someone else's high school reunion. That's my weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, your wife's high school reunion, the DJ. DJ's going to go, hey, everybody, I'd like to welcome Donna and Temple Grandin to the reunion. Thanks for coming tonight.
By the way, I heard a rumor that the DJ may be our old friend Richard Blade. I don't know if that has been confirmed or not. But if it is, at least I'll have somebody to hang out with and talk to.
And here's some music to potty with.
With our fingers, we make million holes.
We want to hear your high school reunion disaster stories at 1-800-520-1067. Let's give Ty a try here. He is on line two, and he joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ty. What happened at yours or your wife's, man?
I was at my wife's reunion, and much like Bean, didn't know anybody else there. And basically, my wife got arrested.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Whoa. Your wife
got arrested? That sounds like a great reunion.
Why did she get arrested?
Basically, it's my bad sense of humor. I'm standing around for an hour or so drinking beer because I don't know anyone.
Right.
And basically, an old boyfriend had been talking to her. I walked up and said, hey, you know, I paid for by the hour, so you're going to have to pitch in some money towards the end of the night. And he didn't like that, so there was a little bit of a scuffle that happened. When the cops showed up, she's the one who gets arrested.
Nice.
So you got into a fight with one of your wife's ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
And your wife got arrested.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. So maybe I have that to look forward to.
You should try that, Bean. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Rob. He's on line three. Another fight, another arrest at his reunion that he went to. Rob, what happened, dude?
Well, basically, it was my 10-year. I showed up with a couple of friends. I was looking forward to the night. Within 10 minutes of walking into a place, a kid that I didn't really get along with in high school. I wasn't friends with him, but I didn't have a beef with him. Walked up, ignorant, drunk, started stuff with me, pushed me. I told him, hey, you don't want to do this. This isn't a cool place. It's been 10 years. Get over it. Kept pushing. I finally grabbed him by his neck, threw him up against the wall. And as I was going to hit him, security came up, grabbed him, found out what the story was, took him away, and supposedly he got arrested outside.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, there were so many fights at reunions.
I like it.
Well, kidding.
The thing is, now on Facebook, in the last 2 years, I got on, and I've been reacquainting, you know, getting to know people again. And he sent me a friend thing. I accepted it, thinking it was cool. He started doing all this derogatory stuff, so I reported him to Facebook. I have my 20-year next year. I'm afraid the guy's going to show up with a gun now.
Yeah, I know. You don't need to go to your 20.
Wow.
You don't have anything in common there.
No, yeah, you're excluded from reunions. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to go, and it's kind of a bummer, but that's my story. So
go, don't go, or go and bring a gun. That's it. Those are your options. Thank you, Rob.
Let's try Candy line one. Apparently, she's not the one who got arrested. Candy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
I took my now ex-husband to my 10-year reunion. We were high school sweethearts. He promised me he wouldn't drink because he had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
He proceeded to get extremely intoxicated.
Right.
Stripped down butt naked in front of the entire class, jumped in the pool. Security had to pull him out and escort him out of the hotel.
All right.
Oh,
I left him the next day.
Oh,
really?
That
was it?
That was it.
Hey, Bean, you could be single after the weekend. Think of it that way.
Wow. I mean, I guess there's just a lot of this whole event is just fraught with drama. I guess there's a lot of, you know, a lot of emotions and a lot of expectations. There's a lot of ways things can go poorly.
And stuff that comes up from when you were in high school that you probably haven't really gotten over. You think you have, but you haven't.
That's weird.
And by the way, I didn't even... Yes, go ahead, Sarah.
Bean, remember that your wife is really looking forward to this, as I was, too. And I was overweight at this reunion and really tried to lose weight and got my hair done, a great dress, and he ruined it. And at my 20-year, I skipped it. I looked great, lost all of my weight. I didn't care. I wasn't going back. It was ruined.
Yeah, way to go. Wow. Way to go, ex-husband.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So, Bean, step up and just be kind to everyone.
Yeah, it's not going to work either. I know. That's funny.
Let's try Shelby real quick. She's got a different angle to the high school reunion experience on line 4. Hi, Shelby. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah. I was looking forward to my reunion, too, my 10-year, and so I brought my ex-boyfriend with me. And the whole time he bitched about, oh, I have to wear a suit, this isn't me, you're changing me, and all this stuff.
Oh, that's so Bean. Every word of that is Bean.
Yep.
And so then, and then I picked out the perfect dress, and I show up, and he's like, you picked that dress? I would have thought you would have had a better dress than that.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
So then we get over to the reunion, and I look different, so some people didn't recognize me, and he was making comments about that, and a little jealous or whatever. And then I go up to dance with my friends, and they're playing like Atomic Dog and all these different songs and stuff, and I come back over, and he was on the phone talking to our friend for like 20 minutes, just ignoring me, and started making racist comments about, you know, me dancing to those songs and stuff, and we got into a fight, and he just takes off. He leaves the reunion and just abandons me there and walks off, and I'm in my car for like 2 hours crying after that, and all he totally ruined it.
That sucks. In the moment, that sucks, but he did you a favor.
Think so.
No, I'm saying by understand it was a horrible night, but by getting rid of him.
Well, yeah, but years later we stayed together for a while, and then years later
you stayed together with him after that.
Well, I broke up with him later, but he admitted he ruined it on purpose because he didn't want me to have fun. So
wow. Well, I'm not going to ruin it on purpose. I just don't think I can stop myself.
It's not an on-purpose thing with Bean. He's just he's out of
control.
He's
just being Bean.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not doubting that that her boyfriend was a dick. It sounds like he behaved very badly that night. But she's off dancing with her friends that he doesn't know. He's got nothing to do and no one to talk to. It's kind of hard to, I mean,
no.
I can understand why he, you know, called somebody just to pass the time. I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to pull out a phone and call somebody. But I can understand why
he did
it.
That's because you don't talk on the phone to anybody. You're going to be on the floor, man. You're going to be dancing your ass off. That's the one thing you have is your love of dance.
There is that. That is true.
So you can be on the dance floor and just have a great night. And everybody have to, you know, get
apart.
Oh, hey, everybody.
So he can move.
Let Bean go. Let Bean go. He's going to be doing his break dancing and spinning on his head.
Bring then your cardboard.
Everybody's going to be high-fiving Donna.
I'm doing the doogie. I'll be there. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Adam Carolla joins us later on today for This Week in Rage, plus Ralph will be here with the movie Bee.
He become Bob Dylan.
He's the human Zuvuzela, whatever the hell the thing.
Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Bee. What's going on?
This is what's going on. There's a woman in England who's a magnet.
What? For reals?
Metal sticks to her.
No.
Awesome. Oh,
yes. She can take, oh, here, give me that spoon. She puts it on her forehead, and it stays magnetized to her bones.
Pretty cool pictures.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
I can't bring anything. I can't introduce any story to anyone anymore.
You're introducing it to us.
I can't to Lisa
not ruining,
and Kevin and Mike
I'm not
and
ruining
the rest of the world.
Telling the story. I'm just saying pretty cool pictures. I'm agreeing with you how cool it is to see that girl with all that stuff stuck to her body.
I was Twittering her last night, and we had a long conversation.
I'm going to her high school reunion.
You know, Lisa May.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene Simmons, what's going on?
I've got a couple things I think would stick to your body.
You don't need that.
Good.
What do they think the reason is?
They think that her disposition, they think stress may have heightened her electromagnetic field, because apparently all human beings have an electromagnetic field, and hers has been heightened, they think, by severe emotions.
I saw this on season 3 of Lost. This is a fake story.
This is the real deal, and she has coins and keys and things all stuck to her.
Awesome. God. When she walks, how strong is it? How far? What?
Not
how far
that
away?
Strong. She has to hold the coin up to her forehead, but it will stay there. Sometimes for 45 minutes to an hour, it will be magnetized to her bones.
She could win bar bets all night long, every night.
She could, yeah. Oh. I bet I can make your house keys stick to my face.
I bet you can.
Talking about? I bet you a point, mate. Boom. She's drinking for free.
That's awesome.
Just saw that this morning, and it just made my head spin. The magnet woman.
I like it, too.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Zsa Zsa Gabor is in the news. The only reason I bring this up is because...
yeah, that's a good question.
She has,
this is worth it, Kevin.
She has a interesting plan for when she leaves this world.
When she dies, which is...
When she shuffles off this mortal coil, as the bard once said.
Is she close? I mean, is that
it'll
why
be by thing? Labor Day, I think.
Yeah, she's apparently not doing well. Her her husband is Prince Frederick von A-hole.
Really?
You know that dude?
No.
He's the one, TMZ always covers him. He's the one who wanted to run for governor or mayor or something, and he's been found, like, pantless in his car and stuff. This guy's no one knows what he's the prince of, and he's a weirdo. Anyway, he's married to Zsa Zsa Gabor, who apparently at one time or another was, I don't know, an actress?
Yes.
She's been old and ready to die since I was born,
but she's
been
sort of pseudo-famous forever, too, yes. And I never really know what for. I know her sister, there was like three Gabor sisters, apparently, who were fairly famous for a while. But her sister was the Hungarian broad in Green Acres. Remember that old TV show, Green Acres, about the city folks who moved to the country? It's like, fish out of water. It's wackiness. They look at the crazy pigs coming into the house again.
Is this the last thing she did?
No, but this is her sister.
Oh.
I only know her sister's work. I don't know Zsa Zsa's work that well, okay. Although she did appear in an episode of Batman.
All right.
Anyway, she is dying. She's not well. She is home now, but apparently in a lot of pain. She was released by UCLA Medical Center, where she was rushed this week. But the real point of the story is, and I apologize for going on and on, Zsa Zsa's husband, Prince Frederick von A-hole, Anhalt, I'm sorry, says that his wife wants her body preserved forever by plastination.
Yeah! I've never heard of that.
Like they
you have heard about it. You remember the body exhibit?
Yes.
They were going around in the museums where they would strip down the bodies to their sinew and their muscles and fibers and bones. They were human bodies, but had been plastinated into perpetuity. They would stay preserved forever through this plastic process they put them
I think
through.
They brought those into the studio one
they
time.
They did.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But so that process is what Zsa Zsa once done to her, but not just the inside. She wants the whole deal done. She wants to become like a human mannequin.
Why?
And then go on tour?
Because she wants to preserve her beauty forever, says her husband.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't we have killed her when she was 25?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a little late for that.
Wow.
Yeah, she's in her 90s now. This isn't how you want to remember Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I don't want to remember her at all in any way.
Apparently,
we don't have a preferred way to remember her.
Von Anhalt said he has contacted the German anatomist Gunther von Hagens, who apparently has done all those world exhibitions of all these plastinated corpses.
And that's the guy that did the human centipede as well, so maybe that's the wrong guy to contact.
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la.
A different Gunther.
Are you sure?
Yeah. My ding-ding-dong.
It's a different Gunther.
Right.
I would like to show the plastinated body of Zsa Zsa Gabor in the context in the scene of one of her films.
One of her early
Gunther
films,
said.
I hope.
What film? What film? I recognize Zsa Zsa from that scene from Two on a Douchebag, or whatever that 1950s comedy she made, or whatever. No one knows her films.
No one cares.
You know what? Plastinate her slapping a cop. That's what I remember it from.
That's right. That's what she's most famous for.
She slapped the cop and went to jail for it.
But then you have to plastinate the cop
as
well.
That's true. It gets so complicated, doesn't it? Anyway, I thought that was an interesting enough story.
Wow, how self-obsessed can you be?
I want to be plastinated. Me, I just want to be pressed into a record. Everybody's got their own way. They want
sure.
To
that's right.
And sad news today. Apparently, Chelsea Handler and her boyfriend are splitting up. I wanted to give them a shout out. She was dating Animal Planet host David Salmoni, and apparently they have split up. And I'm surprised because David apparently is used to working with beasts over there on the Animal Planet. So I thought perhaps he would had a better shot at a relationship with Chelsea Handler.
See what you did?
Because you're a fan of hers.
I am a fan of hers.
You like her very much.
All right, we're going to give away some tickets to Linkin Park. We have a breakfast with Linkin Park.
You really weren't looking.
I wasn't.
Nope.
If you'd like to call now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to have a title fight, and since this is Cleo's last day, it's going to be Cleo versus Cleo. So whoever
calls, no one might win.
Whoever calls gets Cleo, right?
Oh, nice.
So 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to attend our breakfast with Linkin Park.
What did you do?
I've got some celebrity birthdays. Steve Sharippa. From The Sopranos, is 53 years old today. I'm plugging him in instead of the guitarist for the Toadies.
Good.
Yeah. That's a good trust swap
that's
out,
a good
right?
One. Yeah.
Charlie Sheen is 45 years old today. Gold medalist Shaun White, the Flying Tomato, turns 24 years old. And softball legend Jenny Finch. I bet you never hear that phrase used very often, softball legend. But if there is one, it's Jenny.
I only know one women's softball player, and that's because she's so hot.
She is way hot. Especially for a softball player.
Yes.
She's hot just in the general population.
Yes.
But if you go to the subset of softball players, she's queen of the world.
Yeah.
She is Jenny Finch, and she is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Miss Cleo, in one of her final appearances on the Kevin and Bean Show, joins us in studio. How are you, Cleo?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Can we see them?
No.
What? You're leaving anyway. What?
What?
Miss Cleo has been with us for 2 years, believe it or not, on the show, and she's probably best known for being a filthy, lying whore because she said that she would do jumping jacks that time. She did that bet with Kevin and then didn't. So that's what that's the memory that I'm going to have of her for the rest of my life.
How about the time I shoved hot dogs in my mouth for you guys?
That was awesome. That was great.
Okay.
That was great. As they famously say in the expression, Hitler made the trains run on time. But listen, I digress. Miss Cleo is probably most famous for how great she is at the game that we're going to play right now for Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets, which is the title fight.
Yes.
Isn't she the one who melted down trying to do Foo Fighter songs that one time?
A clock with a clock.
It wasn't good.
That was supposed to be for times like these. So, yep. Linkin Park tickets for Breakfast with Linkin Park with Kevin and Bean and a copy of A Thousand Suns, the new album coming out on September 14th. 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to...
go to Breakfast with Linkin Park.
So, Miss Cleo, in honor of your last day, you're going to be the partner for both contestants on the line trying to win the Breakfast with Linkin Park thing. So that way we get twice as much Miss Cleo on your last day.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Kevin, you want to explain to our callers how the game is played?
Yes. She's going to try and get you to say the title of a Linkin Park song, but she can't use any of the words in the title. So your answer will be the title of a Linkin Park song, but she has to get you to say it without using any of those words. All right. Let's start with line six. This is Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Who would you like to give the clues?
I'm going Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, good.
Oh, right. Good choice. Okay.
And let's go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey.
Who would you like to give the clues?
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, good. Okay. Excellent.
Smart kids.
All right. Now, Andrew, since you chose first, Tiffany, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Second. All right.
All right, so Andrew, we're going to put 45 seconds on the clock. Miss Cleo is going to be giving you hints that will result in you coming up with a Linkin Park song title. If you want her to pass, you can. You can just say pass, and she can go back to it at the end if there's still time. But I've heard Miss Cleo play the game before. You'll be lucky to get one. Are you ready to go?
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
Okay, the thing that comes after, before two.
One step closer.
Nice. When you pass out.
Thanks.
A girl does this once a month.
Menstruates.
Yes, but okay. It's not a song title.
Pass.
Okay, if you slide your hand across a sheet of something that you're writing on, you get a...
paper cut.
Say it.
Backdoor access.
I don't know, pass.
All right, go back to the other one.
Okay, so... what happens when you hurt?
Okay, great clues, first of all, Miss Cleo. You got three right. The two you missed were the menstruation one. You were so close, if you'd given it a half a second thought. Bleed It Out is the song we were looking for.
Awesome.
And Paper Cut. Did you get paper? He got Paper Cut, right?
Yeah.
Paper Cut, you got in the end was the last one. We were trying to get her to go for butt sex, but she wouldn't do it. So three is pretty good, though. So hang on. You may win, Andrew.
Wait, though. I have a question. Did you study?
No, not at all.
She must have.
Brilliant.
I asked Alex, I was like, should I study and go in there and rock it, or should I just let magicalness happen? And this is magicalness.
Magicalness is the answer.
Look at her.
I think she's lying because it's her last day and we'll never be able to call her on it. But those clues were perfect, though. You couldn't have done any better if you had sat in the other room for an hour with them in front of you. Come on.
All right, Tiffany, you're screwed, first of all, because she just used up all of her good clues. But here is your 45 seconds, and again, you can pass if you want to, and she can go back to him. You ready?
Okay. Right, yeah, no problem.
When you can't feel anything.
No.
September, October, November.
My December.
Nice.
What a baby does before they can walk.
Crawling.
Nice.
When you change something quickly.
When you change something quickly. Pass.
Okay. The sun causes a... blank on the floor.
Shadow. I don't pass.
Okay.
She has to go back to the last one then.
Shoot.
Shadow of the Day.
Yes, okay. Shadow of the Day. That's the W win. Wow.
How about that?
What just happened? Miss Cleo, if you were this smart, we wouldn't be happy you were leaving.
How did you hide that all this time?
I have no idea.
What's going on?
Now she leaves.
Now that she's got her S together.
Yeah.
Were you just putting out a well-crafted...
Okay, you guys tend to forget that even though clocks happened, sometimes when I do this game, I do okay.
Not very often. No, never often. All right, so Tiffany, she got 4 right,
yes.
So she's in for Breakfast with Linkin Park. I know we have more than one pair to give away today. I don't know if we're going to have too much time later. What do you say we hook up Andrew and give him tickets too?
He was a good contestant.
Yeah. Andrew was a very good contestant.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
So you both win.
All right, thank you.
Everybody wins with Miss Cleo.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Carolina Liar, the two bands you most want to hear this morning. Coming up next, right now, Ralph is here on a Friday. It's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
New movies out this weekend. Several interesting choices. One I actually saw this week that we'll be talking about in just a few minutes.
Hey, that's against the rules.
I know, but once in a while, I like to play by my own rules.
Right.
I'm an outlaw.
You are an outlaw.
I'm a card and I must be dealt with. let's start with Going the Distance, shall we? The movie about cake. They're going the distance.
I don't.
They're going for speed.
That's not what the movie's about. They just used the title, Ralph. They just used
either.
The title.
It goes with the race. Love that song. I memorized all the lyrics.
Yes, you did.
No, apparently this is a romantic comedy.
Aww.
A rom-com, as we say around the water
cooler.
No one
says that.
I just said it. Starring Drew Barrymore and Justin Long. Look, you know how I feel about the average American rom-com.
Yes.
I think most of them are cookie-cutter crap. I think there is a formulaic sense to a lot of these movies where they just plug in a series of reliable sort of actors who do these kind of films over and over again, and they just release them to a susceptible audience that just automatically goes to them out of like some sort of Pavlovian reflex.
Sometimes there's an exception where they really make it well done. And
I think this may be one, believe it or not.
Right.
I get the sense that this film could be better than the average simply because it seems to be character-driven over like cute concept-driven. You know, Drew Barrymore didn't accidentally drop her sperm cup into a deli, and then she had a salami as a baby, and it turns out the guy who owns the deli was dead, and he was a ghost, and he came back and made her ex-husband disappear.
I want to see that one.
I mean, it wasn't one of those kind of just convoluted romantic comedies. This is about a couple. They meet on vacation, and then they realize at the end of 6 weeks or so, when they have to go back to their separate homes, that they're going to be thousands of miles away from each other, but they're still crazy about each other, so they try to conduct a long-distance relationship. Sounds like a nice, plain, fertile premise for a romantic comedy.
All right.
Justin Long, I find him an enormously talented and likable.
I really like
him. Super likable.
Drew Barrymore.
I like her.
Is in this movie.
I don't mind her.
And the supporting cast is really strong, too. You've got Ron Livingston and a bunch of other very talented actors. Christina Applegate, Jim... what's the
comedian? Gaffigan.
Gaffigan, right? Anyway, I have good hopes.
Good.
Hope springs eternal for this film.
All right.
Here's a clip from the film where Drew Barrymore and Justin Long have decided that they're going to try to give the relationship a go, even though they live in cities thousands of miles apart.
I don't want to lose you. I'll be here and you'll be there and we'll be long distance because, quite frankly, I'm crazy about you.
I'm crazy about you, too.
Seems sweet.
Sure.
Well, I can't tell much from that clip, but I'm with you on the cast is impressive.
Also opening this weekend, The American, George Clooney. That's all I need to say. Just go.
Go.
George Clooney.
Just go see the movie because it's
go.
Him.
George Clooney, go. Guns. Hot Italian babes, George Clooney, go. In The American, he plays an assassin who is on his last mission. That's never good. You don't want to be on your last mission because the S goes down on your last mission. You never say, this is his next to the last mission. Nothing ever happens on the next to the last mission.
True.
He ends up in Italy hiding out in an Italian village while he is well, singled out for elimination himself. But he falls in love with a local woman who gets way naked.
And is she way hot?
She's way hot.
All right.
So I recommend the American. Well, here's a scene where George Clooney realizes that his life's in danger, and he's been told, well, you might want to keep your head down.
Who was the girl?
A friend.
Who the Swedes? I'm working on that. It's going to take some time. Did she set you up?
She had nothing to do with it.
You can't stay here. I've made arrangements for you to leave town while I sort this out. Castelvecchio. Stay there. Lay low till you get my call. Don't talk to anyone. And above all, don't make any friends, Jack. You used to know that.
Don't make any friends, Jack.
Uh-oh. I learned that. That's the first thing I learned when I was an assassin.
Well, you're lucky. You never had any friends to begin with, so you never had to make any new ones.
Does he screw up by getting too close to someone he should just leave behind, Ralph? Is
don't
that
make
what
friends,
here?
Man. It's the first rule of assassination. And Machete opens this weekend.
Machete
is a movie.
Machete
is the movie.
Machete
is the movie. I saw this week. Danny Trejo is the titular Machete.
Machete.
This is Machete.
The rest of the cast is pretty amazing. Michelle Rodriguez, we talked to this week about her role. Robert De Niro's in this film. Jeff Fahey, Jessica Alba, Lindsay Lohan in her triumphant return to the screen. Just well naked, just naked as can be. Just naked and then a nun. Those are her two sides. Naked, nun habit. Her outfit.
In this movie, she's both?
Yes.
All right.
This is a wildly entertaining mexploitation film.
Mexploitation?
Yes.
I like it.
Which is filled with action and comedy and ultra-violence, over-the-top ultra-violence that you can only sort of laugh and cheer along with because it's so ridiculous. A ton of smoking hot women, horrible bad guys, cheerable good guys. It really is a perfect exploitation film for a summertime movie-going experience. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, and I think you will, too.
This is Machete.
Here is Machete himself.
Machete.
Who is, he used to be a federale. He used to be, like, the only honest federale in Mexico.
Okay.
Some S goes down with an evil Mexican drug lord played by quintessential Mexican actor Steven Seagal.
What?
Famous Latin heartthrob Steven Seagal is in this?
That's the kind of movie it is. It's hilarious.
What?
He ends up in America through a series of circumstances as a day laborer.
Who? Steven Seagal?
No, Danny Trejo. Machete.
This is Machete.
And
Machete.
And and through and only it happens in these films through a series of coincidences. Well, they F with the wrong Mexican, basically, is what happens.
Sure.
And here he is going to see his brother, played by Cheech Marin, looking for some help because he's got some guys after him. He needs to find these guys before they find him. His brother also used to be a federale. And now he needs some help getting some weapons and getting a sort of a posse together to fight these guys. Unfortunately, his brother now is a priest.
Oh.
So those two issues are kind of fighting against each other in this scene from Machete.
I'm a man of faith. I took a vow of peace. And I don't shoot anymore.
You don't shoot any less either.
I don't see you, hear from you in 3 years. And now you want me to help you kill all these men?
Yes, bro. I mean, Padre.
I'll see what I can do.
See what I can do. All right, you talked me into it.
There was some talk of this being the first in a trilogy. Is this the kind of movie you'd like to see go on after this film?
Well, at the end of the film, it says Machete will return.
Awesome.
In Machete Kills.
He doesn't
and then
kill
will return again in Machete Kills Again. So apparently we've got two more Machete films in the works. Machete Kills and Machete Kills Again. And I can't wait. I would see the all three of them in a triple feature. I would sit there all day and just watch badass Danny Trejo lop the heads off of bad white guys and Steven Seagal. So,
as a Mexican drug lord,
it's hilarious. I mean, the whole thing's hilarious. And the great stuff is they are given freedom in this movie because the premise is so ridiculous, and it's based on a series of films that were notoriously poorly written and poorly acted. That you can just go nuts with it. I mean, De Niro's like a southern congressman who talks like this, you know, and everyone's just way over the top. You don't even notice how bad Jessica Alba's acting is in this movie because it fits right in. Same thing with Lindsay Lohan. It's just, it's such a great time at the movies. It goes by like this. And by the time it's over, you just wish there was more. It is so entertaining, and I really highly recommend Machete.
This is Machete.
All right, I got it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You know, we had something completely different scheduled here, but Ralph a few minutes ago was talking about the movie that comes out today.
Machete.
Which we're all very excited about. I guess I didn't realize with all the hoopla over, you know, Danny Trejo and Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Alba
this
and everybody in the movie. I guess I didn't realize that the great Steven Seagal makes his comeback appearance in this film, too.
Yeah, and Ralph just said that he plays a Mexican drug lord.
Really?
Who's less Mexican than Steven Seagal?
No one is less Mexican than Steven Seagal. So we have a good relationship with Steven Seagal, so we thought we'd get him on the phone and find out what's going on with him in Machete. Steven?
Hola, amigos.
Well, hello. How are you, white man?
I am centered.
Okay.
I am at peace.
All right.
I am comfortable in my own skin, which there's a lot more of now than there used to be.
Yeah, that's true. You have gotten very heavy.
Easy, Omar.
Wait, Omar's with you?
My spiritual guru, Omar, is doing a little martial arts together.
Wow. Okay. Now,
hola. ¿Qué pasa, amigos?
Right. You're not Mexican, Steven Seagal.
I am.
No, you're not, though.
Yes,
you're not at all.
I'm 100% Mexican.
You're 0% Mexican.
I am 104% Mexican.
You can't be that.
I just got more Mexican as we were speaking.
Okay.
I gained some Mexican.
What part of Mexico are you from? Where were you born, and what part of Mexico are your parents from?
I was born in the capital of Mexico.
Yes.
Yes.
Mexopolis. And that's where my parents raised me.
Right.
I learned mucho español. And that's why I speak it so well in Machete, the new movie coming out.
Your biography indicates that you were born in Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing, Mexico, it reads.
Oh, is it Mexico? It's just a mistake. Okay.
CC, senor. CC.
How did you end up getting cast in this movie, in this role? It's crazy.
Because I am Mexican.
Right, but you're not.
And I am. And Robert Rodriguez,
don't even
the
try.
Director of the film, said to me, Estefan.
No, he didn't.
Segales, which is my real
last
name.
That's not your last name.
It is Steven Segales. He said, would you like to play a brutal Mexican drug lord? And I said, ay, caramba, muchacho. Me gusto mucho. Taco al carbone. And so then
I'm guessing that he cast you as a joke to be funny, because no one is less of a Mexican drug lord than you. That's his comedy.
Listen up, pendejo.
That word he knows.
You will not want to tangle with the likes of me. You will have effed with the wrong Mexican if you push my buttons, my friend.
I think
friend.
That's Danny Trejo's character.
Ah, but in the sequel. I won't be back in the sequel.
Hey, Steven Seagal, did you have any kind of conflict being a real-life United States law enforcement officer, now, you know, taking that uniform off and then becoming a Mexican drug lord for this film? Any kind of
As a Mexican, I was able to get in touch with my roots, and it was more important for me to revisit the homeland culture of my people. And so I was able to stand up for the trials and tribulations of the Mexican immigrant who had to come to this country, as I did, by swimming the Rio Grande, by going through heat and horrible conditions to get across the desert before I landed in Michigan from Mexico. It's a very rare border, the Mexican-Michigan border.
I didn't know they shared a border.
They do.
Wow.
I don't know very many Mexicans who would tolerate listening to that bad music for as long as you have, Steven Seagal.
That is my spiritual music. Centers me.
Is Omar playing that right now on a flute, a recorder?
He is the master of the pan flute. And the pan flute too. Both of those things. You ever had a pan flute? Oh, they're great, but the seeds get caught in your teeth.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was already going to go, but now I'm really going to go. I can't wait to see you in Machete.
Arriva Kinderche.
Right.
Whatever the freaking Mexicans say.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Adam Carolla joins us in minutes. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm going to make you feel good, and then I'm going to make you feel bad.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to take you from the highs to the lows.
Is the high going to be higher than the low?
Nope.
Oh, shoot.
Paris Hilton's It's Not My Purse defense could be in trouble, according to RadarOnline.com. They went to her Twitter.com account in mid-July, and they saw her wearing what looks to be the identical Chanel bag she was carrying last weekend in Vegas when she said, oh, that's not my purse, I borrowed that from a friend.
She's lying.
So the prosecutors may be able to say, how many purses do you borrow? How often are you borrowing this purse?
Yeah.
But that's not proof, though, is it? I mean, it's...
No, but she's going to have to present whatever friend she got the purse from and have the friend admit that it was her cocaine. So we'll have to wait and see if that person steps forward.
Guilty!
I'm just saying it'll make the defense's job a lot harder. That's all I'm saying.
Kevin's already ruled. I don't know why she even needs to go to trial.
I believe he has. So that's the good news.
Okay.
The bad news is that Mike the Situation Sorrentino just picked up a new car for himself. You'll see him driving around the streets of New Jersey.
Yes. In what?
In his new Bentley.
No!
Oh, good for you!
Apparently, according to TMZ.com, he spent over $100,000 for the Bentley. And just paid cash.
Yeah.
Well, that's nothing for a guy who's pulling in what the Situation's making these days.
It's good to see, though, that he is going to blow through it as he gets it.
Yeah.
So a year afterwards.
He makes $5 million this year.
Destitute.
And buys a lot of Bentleys.
Wow.
Yeah. I caught the show last night. I'm watching. I said, I just hope I live long enough to see the reunion special when they're all 50. And Mike's making hoagies in some sub shop in Jersey City, and the JWoww has, you know, 8 kids from 4 different dudes, and she's got a big gut, and she's puffing away on her Virginia Slim 500s, and she's got her, you know, pulling the handles of slot machines in Atlantic City. I just want to see them all just get old and horrible and just ruined.
You won't have to look
that
long.
So you need to be on your tip-top game with your GTO to stay FTD to get the girls to DTF in MIA.
It's true.
That is true.
I don't have to remind you, but you know Halloween's right around the corner. Time to start thinking about what you're going to be. Get your costumes ready.
Funny you should bring this up because Mike started talking about his Halloween costume yesterday and Kevin hit him in the nuts.
Well, I said it's still 2 months away.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, if you're going to put, you know, if you're going to go out, if you're going to go balls out at Halloween, you got to start prepping now.
It's the beginning of September.
You got to put together your game plan. You got to start, you know, get the right pieces. You have to get your stuff made. You have to hunt it down.
That's the afternoon of the 31st of October.
Now, that's how you roll.
That's how I roll, too.
Yeah. Lisa will roll up a pack of cigarettes in her sleeve. Oh, look at me. I'm a lesbian.
I'm a lesbian.
I have keys.
Look at the keys I have. Isn't this a great costume?
Best costume
ever.
We
just stop inviting Lisa to our costume parties, really. She just puts no effort into it. At least Bean slathered on some blackface and came as Kanye West that year, remember?
Yeah.
With his popped collar. That's how we knew it was Kanye West. He's like, look at me. I was like, you're early Michael Jackson?
That was the glasses, too.
I didn't really know.
And then he rapped. He's a great rapper, Bean.
Apparently, the costume companies are saying that Lady Gaga is the hot costume this year for the girls.
Okay. That could be any number of 100 different outfits, right?
That's true, yeah. You got a lot to choose from. The best-selling ones so far, however, according to the costume company website, is the Jersey Shore cast members. The Situation and Snooki are the big
sure.
winners
wow.
this year. So
I wonder if they get a piece of that, of their likeness being sold?
I don't know. They probably sell the Guido Guidette costume, and sometimes
right.
they can avoid that trademark issue by just putting out a generic sort of deal like that.
Miss Cleo hit me up yesterday about going as the Situation and Snooki together, and I was saying that's going to be the Borat of 3 years ago.
Yeah, right. There seems to be one look every year that everyone seems to zero in on.
I bought my first bag of candy corn this week, now that it's in stores.
Candy corn is the worst candy ever.
I love
ever,
candy
ever.
Corn. It's like pure sugar.
Oh, you. It's the bottom of the food.
No,
it's not even food. It's plastic.
It's the bottom of the candy list. If the top, you're saying like your Reese's peanut butter cups or anything is the top. If you go all the way down to the bottom of the list, that's where candy corn is. There's no worse candy.
Yeah.
I also bought the pumpkin flavored Reese's peanut butter cups that they have out for Halloween this year, which is new this year. Very excited about
this. Oh, good for you. And how was it?
It was good. I'm glad Bean is stocking up on candy because he really needs more candy in his diet.
It's September 3rd.
If I'm going to be Jabba the Hutt this year for Halloween, I got to pack on some more pounds.
I honestly, until I started working for you, Bean, I didn't know people ate candy corn. I thought it was
decoration, right? You just put it out because it's the colors of Halloween. You put it out on the table with their centerpiece, and then you throw it away with the rest of the plastic.
Obviously, millions and millions of bags every year. There are a lot of people out there who like candy corn.
But most people use it as a buckshot. It's good for hunting. You just fill up a blunderbuss with it and then just go hunting quail.
Candy corn blown.
Thank you, Lou Black.
It's true.
Ah, great story about Guns N' Roses this week. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but it was Wednesday night in Dublin, Ireland, at the O2 Arena in Dublin. Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses were on stage. Well, they weren't exactly on stage. They were set to go on stage, and then an hour went by. And then some more time went by.
He's so notorious for this.
Axl and the band finally took the stage. During the second song of the evening, Welcome to the Jungle, Axl was becoming pelted with empty water bottles from the crowd that were resentful for having been made to wait for so long. So Axl stopped the song mid-song and said to the microphone, if one more bottle is thrown on this stage...
Which is guaranteeing
that
one
you're
more bottle.
Asking for it, right? Yeah. Then I'll end this concert. I will turn this car around. Don't make me turn this car around because I will pull over. Well, as you can imagine, one more bottle did hit the stage, and he said, that's it. And he walked off the stage with the rest of the band. Lights came on, and everyone was told to leave the arena. But the promoters backstage got in Axl's face and demanded if he wanted to get paid, he had to finish the concert. So the band went back on stage to an empty arena.
They were all gone.
And played till 1 a.m.
You're kidding.
So they could get paid. Yes.
Wow.
They played to an empty house for the rest of the night. And now people are so incensed. Local politicians in Dublin are demanding that all the audience members get refunds for what went on. So Axl still got it, man.
He does.
And good news. Weezer and their old Jackass pals are getting back together again.
Awesome.
MTV News announced that the Jackass guys will be starring in the video for Memories, the first single off of Weezer's new album, Hurley. Johnny Knoxville, Ryan Dunn, Wee Man, Steve-O, Chris Pontius, they're all going to be performing in the video with Weezer, and according to the band, it'll be filled with lots of skateboarding and screwing around from the guys. So you get Weezer and Jackass in one swell foop, as they say.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Gold medal winner Shaun White is 24 years old today. Softball player Jenny Finch celebrates her 30th birthday. And Charlie Sheen of Two and a Half Men fame is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. What you should be doing is going to adamcarolla.com right now to buy your tickets to see the Ace Man on stage September 15th at the Irvine Improv and back at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood on Friday, September 17th. All the details at adamcarolla.com and his great podcast. In fact, Adam returns from being out on the road for it seems like a month. You've been playing cities all over this country with your hilarious stand-up act. Welcome back, man.
Gotta take it to the people, man.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, because people won't come to me.
Really. It is time to get it on with the Ace Man. What's going on, Adam?
Yeah, get it on. Well, I had a thought about the Emmys.
The Emmys.
You guys probably covered that Sunday night? But I've seen it a million times as part of the Emmys. Part of the Emmys and part of the Oscars that I somehow morbidly enjoy the most, which is the in memoriam part. I don't know why. It's the most compelling part. You'll never get up and leave during that part.
You know, you're right.
They play, Jewel plays. Well, you will when they go best cinematography or best screenplay or best adapted screenplay or whatever, ensemble something. You'll go, I'm going to take a leak. But in the in memoriam thing, you're riveted. And you're sitting there and you're watching that thing. And first off, you have a couple of thoughts. Like, there's always that one guy where you go, oh, he's dead?
Yeah, sure. I didn't know.
And then there's this other guy. The other guy, there's the one guy, there's the he's dead guy. And then there's... Wait a minute, he died 2 years ago. And then you have to get in some sort of argument math. Is it a calendar year? Is it an Emmy year? Because Emmy starts, is it from each Emmy to each Emmy or January 1st? You're getting that one. And then you get this weird thought sometimes that's sort of morbid, but it makes you feel good about yourself. Like you go, wow, man, look at all these successful rich people. and I'm alive. A lot of good their money's going to do them now. And so you make you feel a little better about yourself, a little bit better. But here's the part that we need to correct from the in memoriam thing, that I've seen 200 of these. I've never noticed. The part where the audience applauses and does the applaud, and then sometimes not so much.
That's weird.
And they need to work that out.
That's weird.
Because they could easily do that thing where they go, please hold your applause until Jewel is done with her song. But instead, there's that thing where they're like, Fess Parker. not a fan. Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper. Yeah. Okay. Love that guy. Woo. Yeah.
You don't even
Gary
hear the
Coleman. Gary, oh,
you don't even hear the
sorry,
next
sorry. Just yeah, not.
And you're
so
right, Adam.
Sad.
You're right, Adam. Because
what? We're judging dead people.
Some poor guy has died, and now the ultimate insult is the last time their name is ever mentioned on television. All of a sudden, nobody cares.
Imagine if you're just the family of the guy, like Agnes Moorhead, Dennis Hopper. You're not grandkids, and you're sitting home watching, and like, no one loved Grandma. I mean, really, it's not a popularity contest, and it's not one of these things. It's not a weenie roast where you're talking about the lineup coming up later on that night or anything. These are dead people, and it's 2 minutes long. Maybe it's a minute and 41 seconds long. How about you just keep the clapping? Just keep it going through.
Either
you know
don't
I mean?
Or
keep it going. Like, we've all been to those stupid banquets or dumb things your wife dragged you to, and there's some a-hole up there going, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the sales team that made this all possible. First off, Connie Johnson. And they just go, keep it going. And you sit there, and you're just clapping for some guy in a bad clip-on tie you've never met before. Still, you show them the dignity of giving out. Okay. All right, just keep it clapping. My wife works with some of these. I guess I'll just sit here and be clapping. I don't know who this guy is. This guy sold more commercial real estate in the Orange County, Riverside area than all... Okay.
All right.
No. Corey Haim? Sorry, buddy. Nothing.
Not a
they
clap.
Get nothing. I'm sitting on my hands.
God
I will lift them up when I hear
this.
Another name. Work it out, would you
and
people?
It's so shocking. Look, you're not the first person to say this, Ace, but you're the funniest person to say this, but it's so shocking that year after year they let it go on like this, and then some power that be that produces that show doesn't make that a rule. You're 100% right.
Yes. Thank you, Bean. That's all I needed to hear.
That's all right. You ever need to hear, Adam.
That's right.
Adam Carolla is here. All of his podcasts and upcoming appearances at adamcarolla.com. We'll return with The Week in Rage right after this on The Kevin. We'll catch up with our girlfriend LaQuisha in a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show with a recap of last night's very exciting Jersey Shore show. That's her traditional Friday recap. Friday also means Adam Carolla is here with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on. Starting from number three, working down to number one. First off, number three, a subtle one. Okay. But I don't like it anymore. I'm tired of it. Saw a guy cycling, riding his bicycle on the way here.
Mm-hmm.
Had the pant leg rolled up. You know, didn't want to get it caught in the chain.
Right.
Just on one side. You know what? I don't like that kind of asymmetry. You go both sides or you go nothing.
But the chain is only on one side of the bike.
I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I don't care. If you're getting an arm wrestling competition, you're rolling up your sleeves, you do both sleeves. But you're not wrestling with both arms, are you, smartass?
No,
it's not for practical reasons. It's just for fashion. Your fashion sense is offended by it.
Yes, it's the asymmetry. I almost went off the road. I started leaning toward the side that was rolled up, and I was like, hey, Gilligan, you got to go both sides or nothing. I throw caution in the wind. I just let the bell bottoms fly when I hop on a mountain bike because I'm a madman.
It gets caught in the chain, but no worries.
Hey, man.
Whatever.
Hey, that's what seamstresses are for, dude. You know what I mean? Because I'm a badass.
You are a badass.
I mean, they should make one of those FX shows about me, man.
I don't think a badass has ever used the word seamstress in a sentence.
That's true. Well, either way, I make my own rules, and they're mostly to do with seamstresses.
All right.
That's
right.
All.
So if you're going to roll up one pant leg, you got to do both.
I sew by my own book, man. You throw your sewing book out. Take that Singer catalog and shove it where the sun don't shine because I sew to the beat of my own seamstress. Either way, you're going to roll up one side, you roll up the other. That's okay. Right. Or right. None. Or none. It's your choice, but not just the one. I don't like it. I don't like that kind of asymmetry in this country.
Adam doesn't like it, people.
All right. Now, number two. Here's what I'm tired of, and I want to put a moratorium on it. Okay. I'm tired of people telling me about barbecue when I'm telling them about barbecue. I don't like the one-upsmanship and the barbecue talk. Okay. You do this thing where you go, hey, where'd you eat last night? I was over at Ribs USA. Oh, Ribs USA? Pff, you haven't had barbecue. I thought I had some last night. Now, you ever been to Memphis? You ever been to a place called The Pit in Memphis? You know I haven't been there. You know what I'd love to do one day? Just rip open my shirt and be wearing the Memphis Pit shirt? Yeah, eat it, bitch. I'm part owner in the 80s.
You could order
they
a shirt online.
They know you didn't go there.
Right.
Don't ask.
So they just
want
to be better.
Me, condescending bitch.
They just want a better barbecue story than you've got.
You had Kansas City's bet? You've been to Kansas City? No, I haven't. Oh, man. Oh, man. And what they do is they just ruin your barbecue experience.
They do it with restaurants in the same city.
Yeah.
They go, oh, you went to that one.
Oh, you could have driven another quarter mile and been to Dr. Hoggly Woggly's and had real barbecue. And then they're talking you out of 10 minutes ago, you were happy with your barbecue. Now you want to kill yourself? I'm going to choke myself with that wet nap? Why? What is that? Don't ruin my experience. Do we do it with lasagna? Hey, had some lasagna. Oh, no, you haven't. You've not really had lasagna.
I don't think you do.
No, man. You got to get to the Olive Garden in Pomona if you really want to enjoy lasagna. You've not tasted it. Shut up! I had it! I'm not saying I'm going to have it. I didn't ask you. Right. Hey, I'm thinking about hopping to fly a flight to either Kansas City or Memphis. Where should I go for good barbecue? I told you I already ate it. Now shut up. Stop ruining my barbecue experience.
Why can't they just be happy for you? That's all you're asking.
Why can't you be happy? I had some short ribs. I'm happy. Leave me alone.
And when Adam's happy, really leave him alone.
And by the way, you're not even fat. Who made you a barbecue expert? When is this coming out? I've known you for 11 years. You haven't said a word about barbecue.
Wait, is this the right time for you to start
cracking open like a coconut and all this barbecue spilling out of you? Now you're a goddamn expert. How many books you written on barbecue? Shut up. Jesus, I thought I was enjoying myself. All right. Where was I?
Number one.
Yeah. I didn't know how fired up I was about this, but I'm tired of these a-holes.
I'm angry now. It didn't even happen to me. Now I'm mad for you.
Bean's vegan, and he's pissed off about the barbecue discussion. Well, I brought it up last year, and we're not quite there yet, but I'm out of town next week, so I'm going to go a little early on the 9/11 talk. Harry Connick Jr.'s birthday is on 9/11,
okay.
And so's Ludacris. Mm-hmm. And I think how sad it must be for those guys and how confusing it must be for their neighbors. Because if this guy just pulled in, like Harry Connick Jr. just pulled in, and it's 9/11, all of a sudden he's tapping a keg and he's banging a pinata, and he's like, boy, does that guy love Al-Qaeda. Boy, does he love to see people die in buildings. There's completely no context for it. You can't go to a restaurant, whoop it up. You can't light sparklers. You can't do anything if that was your birthday. And if there's any Al-Qaeda listening, I just want to say this. No need for any further attacks on our soil. You've officially won. I was going through the Denver airport about 4 days ago, and I saw this blonde-haired woman pull out a nice expensive bottle of Merlot right out of her suitcase, walk it right over the trash can, not even open, and boom, right in the garbage.
Sad.
Nothing worse than throwing away beautiful booze.
Yeah.
Is there? You know, it was a gift. You know, her in-laws may have made it on their own, whatever, and they said,
right,
take this home with you. And she just threw it in her Samsonite, didn't know, and a second later, unzip, pow, right into the garbage. Al-Qaeda, you've officially won.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't disagree with that. Adam Carolla on stage at the Irvine Improv September 15th. You haven't lived till you've seen the Ace Man's live show September 17th at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. And check out his fine line of podcast broadcasts at adamcarolla.com. I guess we won't see you next week, man, but when we do, we'll look forward to it. Get it on. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Hit Psycho Mike in the nuts for me. Would you for that last remark? Thank you very much. Last half hour, Ralph Garman, the entertainment reporter here, was talking about the situation buying a $100,000 car cash with some of his Jersey Shore money.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that cast? What's going on with those people? LaQuisha, what's going on with this show? What is America doing where they're rewarding a guy like The Situation with that kind of money?
Give him that money. Give him
what?
More cars. Whatever he needs, give it all to him.
You love
but
this show, don't
but
you?
Don't you hate these people so much? Why do you watch?
Because I've never felt better about my own self than I do at the end of a Jersey Shore episode.
And it's sort of fun to have an enemy like that.
Yeah,
hate.
Hell yeah.
Kind of fun, you know?
What am I going to watch? NCIS?
No.
Mark
that's not for you.
Harmon being all white and boring? No. Yeah.
No, that's not for you. Now, I don't know where we are in the season, but it seemed to me last week when we talked to you, you said there was a lot of drama that was drumming up for this week.
Oh, hell yeah. It's all building up in the house because, you know, they gave Sammy the anonymous letter saying what Ron had been doing behind her back.
Right.
And she don't know who wrote the letter. So she's all wondering, who can I trust in the house? Who can I not trust in the house? And the worst part is, last night's episode, Snooki's horny.
Uh-oh.
You don't want that.
No, you don't.
Now, I'm pretty sure Snooki had a boyfriend this season, and then she burned all his pictures and whatnot. She got angry at him because he didn't understand why she was hanging out with gay dudes.
Right.
So now she's single, and the one thing you got to be afraid of is a single Snooki. Because when she get home from the bars and she's a little lit up, don't matter if you're a roommate or not, you're fair game to Snooki.
Uh-oh.
I just wanted to cuddle with one of the roommates, and I wanted to test out all the guys' beds to see which bed is comfy enough to sleep in. Vinny's bed is the winner, so I put my jammies on and I went into Vinny's room.
Vinny's the winner!
Oh, no.
Does he think that too?
And by winner, I mean loser.
Loser, of course, yeah.
But maybe Vinny don't see it that way, because he is a little drunk his own self when she gets into bed with him. And what do you think happens next? Well,
they
we
read
find
the Bible?
Out the next morning when Snooki's talking to Sammy.
I was in Vinny's bed last night.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was like, do you want to snuggle? And he's like, yeah. So I put my pajamas on and went to his bed. We were like snuggling, whatever.
You mean, and you were making out?
Yeah, we started to make out. And then he was like, take your panties off. I was like, ah!
You said, ah, you're like, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was like, okay.
And now I'm like, ah!
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what's going on in Snooki's panties?
Well, they had sex that night.
Oh, no.
And I bet Vinny's like, well, you know what? No one never has to know about this.
Right.
Snooki's now telling everybody. Shut up, Snooki. Buddy, look, if she's going to talk, at least she gives good reviews.
Sam, you have no idea how big this thing was. Like, this big. It's like putting, like, a watermelon into, like, a pinhole.
All right, easy, easy.
Wow.
Easy.
I'd like to suggest it's not a pinhole.
I would like to suggest it's like putting a watermelon in a manhole. You know where the sewer goes? You know when the manhole in the street leads you to the sewer?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it's more like, I think. That's what I'm guessing.
I'm so surprised by this because the Jersey Shore guys are always famously talking about how they don't want to sleep with grenades. Isn't Snooki? It's got to be the ugliest woman this dude has slept with in a long time.
Snooki's an atom bomb. She's got a grenade.
Yeah.
She's a supernova. Well, as I told you, tension's building in the house because Sammy can't get anyone to admit they wrote the anonymous letter that she found in her panty drawer about how her boyfriend cheated behind her back. And Snooki was going to tell her. And she wanted Sammy to come talk to her, but Sammy said, no, I'm not going to talk to you. So she never found out, and that made J-Wow angry.
I'm doing it for that girl. She wants to talk to you.
She can talk
as a friend. You should be able to talk to her.
Really? As a friend, she should be able to talk to me.
You. Because you're a naive beast. What, a naive bitch while your man's putting his in other.
Oh, it's like a finishing school. It's like a debutante ball in that house with all these young women coming out in their cotillion dresses, talking about all kinds of manners and
all
whatnot.
All their proper manners and whatnot.
Oh, it's so exciting to see young America.
It is beautiful to see them grow into such refined young ladies.
So now Sammy got no friends in the house, so she turns to Angela, or Angelina. And she asked her if she knows anything about this letter, and Angelina just cannot keep her mouth shut, and facts do come out.
Tell me what you know.
What do you think?
Danny wrote the note. Snooki did it too, right? You both did it? Yeah, they wrote it.
Ooh!
Uh-oh.
Oh, the cat done be out of the bag now. But meanwhile, before they fight, they have to go out to the clubs and party.
We'll fight later.
Fight later, but let's put on the shirt before the shirt, and everybody get ready to go out to the nightclubs and go dancing. And, of course, the situation out there with everybody, he's drinking, he's dancing, having a good time, and then he spots a little lady across the room.
I'm dancing, having fun, and I see this blonde-headed girl. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, you know what? This one's a winner.
Yeah, she's a winner. She, I think, is a winner of a costume contest.
Uh-oh.
I think if she were to be in a competition of a man dressed like a woman who looks most like a woman, then yes, she would be a winner.
Okay.
Because we find out in Miami, you have got to be careful with whom you spend time.
Oh. Yes.
There is a new rule in the Jersey Shore house.
The new phrase in Miami is if you got to think about it.
If you have to think about it.
If you have to think about it.
We even have to hesitate to think.
It is. It is.
It's usually a dude.
It's a tranny. Stay away.
Yeah. It was a transsexual that
awesome.
He was with, a transvestite.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
And situation was informed of this after the fact, mm-hmm. and he's a little taken aback.
I don't know what I was, I must have, I don't even know. Who knows, dogs? I don't even know what the I was thinking. That's the first time. First time that that had happened. But I'm a trooper, man. I'm a situation, man.
He's a trooper. What does that mean?
He's
he just
a
went for it? Was he a trooper in the pooper?
Oh, no, I hope not.
What does that mean? I'm a trooper. Now, look, I'm halfway here. She's halfway a girl.
Right.
I might as well just go through with it.
Might as well finish.
So, yeah, so how far did it go, LaQuisha?
They just glossed right over that part of the story.
Oh.
They get back to the damn letter, and the girl's fighting like, hold on, time out.
Yeah, I got questions.
I would like to know what happened with the situation and the other situation. But they didn't tell us exactly. No details were given.
We've had this conversation on the show before, and Psycho Mike has said, look, if I've met this person and I've already put in the time and effort and money to get him back to my place, I'm just going to go ahead and do it regardless of what they turn out to be. I just wondered if the situation is on the same page with him.
Psycho Mike's a trooper, I guess.
No. I guess so.
That's Psycho Mike's dream.
Well, at the end of the episode, finally, Sammy confronts J-Wow and Snooki about writing the letter. And I'm telling you, this is ugly. This is getting ugly, what's going on here, especially between J-Wow and Sammy.
No, you tell. For someone that begged to, like, all the girls ask, if you know something, tell me.
Else, people become all the side.
I'm in your face right now. You call me a
bee's tail.
All right.
I like how they put the Jaws theme underneath that. I don't understand what that was all about.
So did they throw down?
They did throw down, and it stops right in the middle. When they first start throwing down, it stops. It's like a to-be continued.
Oh, man, that hurts.
So the beginning of next week's episode, we're going to see the rest of the fight. Apparently, Snooki starts fighting, and then the boys start fighting, and everybody starts fighting. And then, Vince McMahon come out and hit somebody with a chair, and then The Rock slams The Undertaker. I can't wait.
Best show ever?
Best damn show ever.
All right, LaQuisha, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
Miss Cleo's final day working on the Kevin and Bean Show is today, by the way. And I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are demanding more information. I don't know how much she wants to say about the club that she's going to be stripping in, but if we can get it out of her on the air when we bring her in here next half hour, we will. We'll try to get some more details for her, because I know there's a lot of Miss Cleo fans out there after the last couple of years of her working on this show.
I tell you, she'd have more success with that choice than the one she's actually making.
Well, but we wish her well, though, right, Ralph? Of course.
Sure.
All whatever. Right. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Rob.
Really? Law school? Really?
Look, you have to appreciate that she's dreaming big. She's not just settling for what's right in front of her. She's looking beyond that.
The world needs all kinds of lawyers. Good and bad. Right?
How dare you?
I,
I'd like to point out that there was a time where a young man named Kevin Ryder decided he wanted to be a radio DJ, and everybody told him he was bad, and everybody told him he would never make it, but he persevered.
Yeah.
And look, he's been enormously successful for a very long time.
Yes. What did you do?
And I'm just saying, sometimes people surprise you with what they're able to pull off.
And if someone had told him the truth early on in his career, how better off would we all have been?
We would have all been better off, but Kevin's doing pretty well.
What did you do? The poor people are going to end up in jail when Cleo is representing them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm proud of her. I would not hire her as my attorney, but I do wish her well.
Spell check? Come on.
As do I. Spell check. A lot more than that. All kinds of checks. All right, let's talk showbiz, shall we? Bodie Miller is my mortal enemy now.
Why?
You know Bodie, right? The Olympic skier.
Yeah.
According is he the one that drank a lot and had
trouble? Yep.
Yeah. Big attitude.
Yeah. Big attitude, you bet. He, according to the New York Post, has a new girlfriend.
Okay.
One of the stars of TV's Gossip Girls over there in the CW.
Yeah.
Young actress by the name of Katie Cassidy.
Oh, wow.
After Katie and I bonded over kombucha, or kombachka, or kabuki.
Whatever it was, you lied to her and said you liked it too.
Whatever that drink is she was drinking that tastes like ass.
Right.
I thought we had a moment. I thought there was a future for us. I thought we had something going on. But apparently we don't. What's the name of that, Mike? You drink it too.
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
It was her and I.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I told her it tasted like ass. Yeah, I'm too honest for my own good. That's why Bodie Miller gets her, and I don't.
Yeah.
Because I called her drink ass juice, which is what it is. Fermented ass. That's what they make it out of.
That's true.
It is. Remember the guy who tried to blackmail David Letterman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's out.
Already?
Yeah, he was released from jail yesterday after serving 4 months of his 6-month sentence.
Okay.
Apparently, he got released thanks to good behavior. He got some time off out of New York City's Rikers Island Jail. He's got 1,000 hours of community service yet to do. But we hope he's learned his lesson about trying to blackmail people with sexual exploits for cash. Even though he still claims it was just a screenplay he was working on.
Sure.
He wanted Dave to read.
Right.
What do you think about this guy?
Misunderstanding.
This guy's name's David Schmetterman, and he's banging all his assistants in my screenplay. See what you think.
And it wasn't his purse.
It's sad when you see one of your heroes sell out. Go for the easy buck. Compromise their artistic passion for the almighty dollar.
Who did this?
Bear.
Bear.
Grylls? Remember Bear?
Bear Grylls?
Remember our buddy Bear?
Rainbow guy.
Yosemite Bear?
Yes.
Double rainbow. Oh, my God. Oh my Double God. Rainbow. Well, guess Whoa. What?
Look at that. Four
Hold on. Time out. Easy, big fella. Bear has got a new commercial that he's doing for Microsoft now.
Okay.
And you've heard a little bit of it already. Thanks to Kevin.
I thought that was the original clip.
And here he is recreating his most memorable role. As Stoner Rainbow Guy in the new Microsoft commercial.
Now.
Wow. Look at that. Full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Woo!
How do you fit a double rainbow in a single shot? You don't. You do it in three. With Windows Live Photo Gallery, you can use Photo Stitch to combine adjacent photos and capture that double rainbow the way it should be captured. Full on all the way across the sky.
What does it mean?
Oh, Microsoft.
It has none of the charm of the original, by the way. None.
Wow. Coming down on Bear, man.
I love Bear, and I don't consider him a sellout. I'm happy to see him making some money off of this, because the guy told us he's making like $1,000 a year. That's what he's been living on for all this time.
So and he needs money for weed.
But what about the art, man? What about the art?
There's no art. It's just weed.
Double rainbow. It's art.
I'm very happy for Bear. Yeah.
Just saying. Katy Perry says,
I agree with her.
She likes Britain so much.
No, don't move there.
When she marries her husband, Russell, soon to be husband, Russell Brand, she would like to get dual citizenship. She'd like to become a member of the British Empire.
Nope.
But still be a citizen of the United States.
Yeah, she'll keep both.
All right.
But
can you do that?
Sure.
You can become a dual citizen. She said, then I can just pass through customs really quick, too, which would be helpful. I guess you have to stop every time you're from a foreign country and deal with all that. She will be going back and forth quite a bit, that's for sure.
If you're working at the TSA, you stop Katy Perry every time because she's Katy Perry.
Just so I could wander. Right. You know what I mean? I'd like to wand you. Let me wand you. Right. I'm going to wand you. You like to be wanded? You're going to be wanded, whether you like it or not. Here's my wand. I will now wand you.
Those new machines that you walk through and they take that.
All
they
will take be that. Thanksgiving.
Those new machines at some airports that you walk through and they take those photos of your body.
Yeah.
Have you seen body scan? Have you seen some of those images? You've seen that, you know, they're negatives. The pictures we've seen are negatives, but now there are websites that are taking some of those pictures and they're turning them into positives, and they look just like you're taking a picture of a naked person.
It does. You see
it's crazy.
Everything right there.
Yeah.
That's good, right?
We need to buy some Katy Perry security cam footage. That's what we need.
It's good unless Snooki's coming into your airport, and then you're going to go blind. And lastly, a Radiohead concert film is being released soon, next month. I don't know the exact date here, but the cool thing about it is it was shot entirely by flip phones, by their fans. And they took that footage and they edited it to the actual audio from the concert. It all happened in Prague in August of last year, and the trailer is now up on YouTube. You can check it out, and you can find the web address where you can download the film there. So apparently the film is ready for download from Radiohead, and you can get it there, but it is entirely shot by fans in the audience with flip phones.
Hmm.
How cool is that?
Kind of like what the Beastie Boys did with their concert film. Remember a couple years ago, the I Shot That, where they had all the fans send in their video, and they stitched it together. That's a cool idea.
So
it's a cool idea until you get sick, because they're like, shaking all over the place.
Yeah.
Ralph, speaking of interesting videos, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but have you seen what the Arcade Fire has done with their new video?
I have not, sir.
It's an interactive video in that you go on to the website and you type in your home address or any address that you want, your childhood home or whatever, and it brings up Google Earth images of that location and incorporates it into the video.
So the video is different.
No.
The video you're watching on the website.
The video that you're watching on the website. Everybody's video is different, in other words, because it's interactive with whatever information you provide. And that looks like, I mean, that's, you know, it's a novelty at this point, but you can see down the road how there's a million different ways they can incorporate it, and everybody would have a different custom-made video from a band.
What a clever idea.
Yeah, interesting. Doing
that? Arcade Fire. Is it germane to the song? Is the song about locations or homes
I don't know what the hell Arcade Fire songs are about.
It might be.
My
bad. Today's celebrity birthday is Charlie Sheen's 45 years old today. Softball legend Jenny Finch is 30. Oh, oh. Thanks, by the way, to the listener who sent me the Jenny Finch photo of her checking out her own crotch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what she's looking for in there, but whatever she's lost, I would like to help her find it. She's 30 years old today, and Olympic gold medalist Shaun White celebrates his 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Hey, I think we're about to unveil something that has been percolating behind the scenes for some time with our friend DJ Omar Khan. Am I right?
We are, yes. You know, we do the Internet Roundup, and we have so many good ones as of late.
Yes.
And the remix really is the way to present them. I mean, you can kind of get a whole feel for all of them. Here are some of the separate clips. You remember the Alec Baldwin one?
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
And of course, then, famous.
Then there's the Christian Bale.
Oh, good for you.
Then there's Antoine.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
And then there's Double Rainbow Guy.
Double Rainbow. Oh, my God.
And then there's, where was the saddest cry in the world from? Being Intervention?
Intervention.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a solid 2 weeks straight of every day being new Mel Gibson.
I deserve to be first before the jacuzzi.
So you got all that. And then you got Hedo Rick.
Oh, Hedo Rick.
The 60-year-old guy that goes to hedonism and... And why?
Wild women. The wild women, the ripping and the tearing.
You're right, Kevin. There's been so many viral videos this year that it would take you all day long to listen to them all if you did it individually.
Then there's Winnebago.
The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that?
Which he wrote, by the way. And then, of course, there's Victor Fuentes.
What's the address, please?
16121. Hello!
So there's all that. So we said, Omar, why don't you take all of those clips, and why don't you go ahead and make that into a Megamix?
Make some magic, Omar.
And he did.
It's going to be very hot on anybody yelling. We get anybody yelling around here, and then the shit is going to hit the fan. Bam. Kick your ass. You don't shut up for a second, all right? All right?
I'm gonna really make sure you get it. You get it.
How did you get it?
kids, has a wife,
This is some completely off-balance person.
Cause they raping anybody out here. So you can run and tell. Back.
All the way.
What?
No.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
You're a monster.
You should just smile and
pay. Monster.
Cause I deserve it.
No.
I'm gonna really make sure you get it.
Cause they raping anybody out here.
All right.
Whoa.
Oh, all right, this
boy.
Oh.
You're imbalanced.
I don't want any more bullshit from anyone. That includes me.
Oh, good for you.
The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that?
What the are you doing?
Well.
Oh, my God.
Are you insane?
Wild women, the wild women, the ripping and the tearing.
Cause they raping everybody out here. Oh, good for you. You're so dumb. Don't shut me up. You are really dumb. No.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Are you insane?
Little pig.
Too much.
Couple.
I don't want you.
Couple.
I don't want you.
Couple.
I despise you.
Because I know, somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
You believe any of that
So there you go.
Come on.
DJ Omar Khan.
Come on.
How great is that?
And no, we don't know if we can make it available as a ringtone, but thanks for asking.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:26.
Ralph has a final look at the showbiz report for the week coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, a little of personal business here. We're losing a member of the Kevin and Bean family today. I'm very sad to say our friend Miss Cleo is going to be leaving us after 2 years on the show, 3 years in the building. Is that right, Cleo?
Correct.
Omar is the only one who's happy about it because, for obvious reasons, he hates you. But half of his life is preparing Afro calls like this one for us.
Miss Cleo, show me your boobs.
I mean, that's about 50% of what we get on the Kevin and Bean Afro line. So now that you're gone, he's not going to have nearly as much work to do because those calls won't be there.
Well, I'm glad I'm helping him out a little bit.
But how do you, I mean, how can you leave a job that pays you so poorly and forces you to get up in the middle of the night and drive a long distance to come in and get abused every day all day?
Yeah,
what about the showbiz?
I don't know how I'm leaving this beautiful place.
$2 an hour that you get.
Was there any part of
expectation of another 60 hours that you don't get paid for?
Was there any part of you that said, but I love Kevin and Bean. They're my boys. I don't want to leave them. The show's too much fun to work on.
Nope.com.
Really? Well, the one constant that has followed Miss Cleo around ever since we first hired her, and let's be honest, you've all heard Miss Cleo. She's dumb. So we hired her.
Here's what she is.
Big boom, small brain.
Right. We hired her because she's got giant cans. So for 2 years now, we've been trying to see the giant cans, but we've had to really pull back because, you know, sexual harassment and because, you know, employment laws. I mean, let's face it, Lisa, we get in trouble if we say the wrong thing to an employee at this point,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, and
right.
You have to take those tests all the time to prove that you know what that means.
Okay, but let me just clarify. So you're quitting.
Correct.
Today's
I'm leaving.
Your last
Today's
day.
My last day.
All right, so at 9:28 today, you're fired.
What? But I put my 2 weeks in, though.
Doesn't matter. We're firing you.
But
so
no.
So now, as of right now, as of you, 2 minutes ago, you worked here. Now you don't. You're fired.
So
you no longer work for the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, you can't leave the phones. We're asking you to stay there. But we can ask you to show us your boobs now because it's not sexual harassment because you're not an employee.
I see.
But
you're fired.
That's where she signs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she does have to sign that. That's true.
Oh, I have to sign something?
Mike just scratched out, I'm fired, signed. Miss Cleo.
I don't want there to be any misunderstanding that you do still work for the show, the station, the company. Miss Cleo, in all seriousness, and we don't have very much time here, but I mean, this is an absolute, truthful, honest question, and I really do want you to seriously consider it.
Okay.
What's the downside of you showing us your boobs?
You know, you guys have been harassing me all week.
Oh, you say harassing.
Since I put in my 2 weeks, show me your boobs, show me your boobs. Yeah. So you know what? I'm going to give in. Kevin, Mike, let's go.
All right.
Sorry, Bean, you don't get to see.
We're going to the other room.
Let's do it. Because what's the downside?
Bean, you don't get to see though. It's just for Kevin and Mike.
I'm willing to let them have it because it's that great. I wish great things for them. So sure, go ahead. Let's see it. I mean, we're not filming. There's no pictures. I mean, it makes us happy, not just for now, but for the rest of our lives. We'll always have a. Let's face it. This is your last chance to leave a positive impression with us.
Thanks, cookies.
You did. But that doesn't overcome.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and.
So if you want to be remembered for something other than that, we're just saying.
This would wipe out pretty much all
everything.
Their memory.
It would.
For everything.
We would never bring up the jumping jacks that you promised to do and then didn't. We'd never bring that up again if we could see them just once.
We'd never bring up spelling. Nothing. We were just, that's the only thing we would think about.
You know how nobody goes, O.J. Simpson, Heisman Trophy winner?
Sometimes it is possible to completely rehabilitate your image in a matter of seconds. And we're saying, Ms. Cleo, this is the best opportunity you're ever going to have to do that.
All right, I'm in.
All right, she's in.
Yeah. Well, then do it. Let's see it.
Wait, no, because I think you need to have
why are we going in the other room?
Yeah, they will never bring up any of that old
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm going to need another contract. Give me that piece of paper, Mike.
We'll sign whatever you want. Whatever you want, we'll sign it.
I can't read your signature, so I'll sign mine.
I, Kevin, and Mike promise to swear every time I talk about Miss Cleo that she will be an amazing lawyer and she's in a fantastic person. Love.
Wait.
Look, this is not real. You should take it.
I'm just negotiating. Take out amazing.
Nope.
Before lawyer.
Leave it.
I'm just saying.
Amazing, what? Spectacular.
You're going to be a lawyer.
And brilliant. Take it or
Kevin, never it, happen.
Kevin, it would
and
be worth
never happen.
It would be worth
and
saying
clocks
all
never
of
happen.
That.
Clocks never happen.
Wow.
And jumping jacks don't exist.
Do it. Do it, Kevin.
All right. Bring it over. I'll sign it.
It'd so be worth so it for what you're about to see.
All right. Good times.
You can do it, right?
Signing it.
Peace out.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
signing it.
Are you going to do it like regular people who don't lie say, I'm going to do something and then they do it? Or are you going to do it like the old Miss Cleo that we used to know would do it, which is, I'm going to do it and then I won't?
Probably the old Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo! Have you listened to nothing I said?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Did she show them to you on the way out? She didn't show them to us at all, Ralph. She talked a big game. Didn't actually come through.
Show them. <She's> showing. They've been decorated.
Okay. Yeah! All right. With the going away balloons and flowers.
I gave her a t-shirt that says, best of luck with Bon Voyage.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph is here with our final look at the show biz beat for the week. Better make this a good one.
Kelly Osbourne, Pussycat Doll?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
She's a lovely young woman, but not to the standards of the Pussycat Dolls, no.
Kelly Osbourne has been rehearsing with Robin Anton and the girls from the Pussycat Dolls here in Los Angeles' Viper Room Club.
Nope.
Yes. Apparently, Robin sent out a couple photos of Kelly via Twitter with the caption, wow, she's so hot.
No way.
Apparently, she's performing with the Pussycat Doll.
No.
No. What? Ew. No. What's happening?
Also performing at the event are Carmen Electra and singer Maya.
All right.
Wow. Okay. One of these things is not like the other. You don't have to be Grover to figure that ass out.
Hey, Froggy. Who's the fat one?
She's not fat anymore, though.
Right, but...
But she's still really short. And I don't think that lends itself well to the Pussycat Doll.
Yeah.
Like
you gotta be, no, you gotta be tall to be a Pussycat Doll, Mike. You know, Mike Bean knows all about burlesque. Have you written his definitive book on the subject?
You do have to be hot.
Yeah, that helps. Enormously. Mm. You win an Emmy, good things happen to you. Okay?
That's all.
I just want to make that statement.
That's a great statement.
No, apparently Bryan Cranston has been asked to host Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
All right, not good things happen to you, but things happen to you. He will be hosting SNL on October the 2nd.
You don't think much of the show, and I understand your criticisms, and some of them are valid, Ralph. But I'm telling you, you can really do something for your career with a great hosting job on Saturday Night Live. You can get people to see you in a new way. You get a chance to do the type of, like, he's not being asked to do much comedy these days. I think it'd be, it's a win-win for the viewer and for Mr.
Yes,
Cranston.
Finally, Bryan Cranston will show that he can do comedy.
No, he,
after
I know
10 seasons on Malcolm in the Middle,
but I'm saying
someone will understand.
It's fun for him to be able to mix it up and do something else, though.
If you don't watch Breaking Bad, by the way, you're bad. You gotta get that.
All you're missing.
Get
yeah.
all of the seasons on DVD.
It's pretty great.
Really well done.
Yeah.
But SNL's not good. Is what I'm saying.
In general, that is correct.
Right. There are. Okay.
Wait, you're gonna say SNL's a good show?
I'm gonna tell you that there are parts of it that are good every single week. As a whole, consistently 90 minutes of good. No, absolutely not. No one could make that claim. But I can't. I'm just not down with writing it off as being a waste of time and it shouldn't be on the air just because some sketches are better than others. That's all. It's still a valid program. All and right. I'm telling you, like, what's his face? The Inception guy? What's his name? Who hosted the Saturday Night Live?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. For instance, blew people away with his hosting duties on Saturday Night Live with the singing and the dancing and the stuff that he did. I mean, it was a tremendous...
I hope he gets a movie career out of it. I hope it works out for him.
I do agree that it can impact your career. I mean, look how it kind of negatively impacted January Jones. I mean, people constantly talk about how unbelievably bad she was.
Yeah. But I don't hear a lot of talk about how unbelievably good someone is. I don't hear a lot of people getting work from their appearance on Saturday Night Live, because Saturday Night Live now only goes with the safe choices and only hires people who are already famous and successful. You rarely get to see a struggling comedian or someone who's done a one-shot off or something getting a shot at hosting something like they did with Steve Martin. When Steve Martin was first asked to host Saturday Night Live, he was just barely breaking the surface in terms of comedy. That, back then, was something and did help his career significantly.
Well, you're forgetting newcomer Betty White, who got to host it last season.
You're right.
She'd never gotten work before this until SNL gave her a break.
I stand corrected, my bad. Jane Lynch has also been slated to host one of SNL's October episodes as well.
I might watch that. She's funny.
She is funny, and she has a great background in sketch and improv, as does Bryan Cranston, actually. So we got that going for you. And the kids of Glee are making a cameo on The Simpsons. Apparently there will be an episode this season where Lisa goes to a performance camp and she runs into some other kids who sing and dance and perform at that camp, and they will be played by several members of the Glee cast.
No.
Yes. No. Why, now, are you on the anti-Glee bandwagon now, Kevin?
No.
Why are you hitting the no button?
I'm on the pro-Simpsons bandwagon.
You don't think that's a good match?
Mm.
I bet Fox is happy to cross-pollinate those two shows. Here's some interesting casting rumors. How about Harvey Keitel as the new boss of The Office?
That doesn't even make sense.
It does.
Harvey Keitel. Badass.
Hey, man. Harvey Keitel.
That's a joke. He hosted Saturday Night Live. Can we have him host The Office then? We did that first?
Wait, that's a joke. To replace Steve Carell?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Because he's a badass.
But he's also a good actor, very funny. I think when he plays the wolf in Pulp Fiction, it's a hilarious role. He does a great job with that. And that sort of intense character, I think, would wreak havoc on that show and make everyone very, very on edge.
No.
Kevin, you're just so negative, man.
No.
Well, that's the rumor. That comes from Paul Lieberstein, who plays Toby on that show.
No.
So... maybe we'll see. Right.
That's fascinating. Yeah. What about Christopher Walken, by the way, while we're talking about it?
That would awesome. Be
funny.
See, a lot of people didn't think he could be funny.
Yeah.
And he's proven over the years that he can be very funny. And he was known as sort of a crazy, intense actor early on in his career. I say give Harvey a chance.
I like the rumor of Murray from...
he's so great.
Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
He would be great on that show.
Yeah.
He would be. This is good news for Kevin. American Idol has announced there's still one more audition date. They're adding one.
Oh, good. Because I want to sing?
Yes. Oh. You want to go on that show. Fox announced yesterday that originally the final audition session was in San Francisco last month, but they are adding one September 22nd right here in the City of Angels. So if you're local here in Los Angeles, you want to try for American Idol, you get one more shot September the 22nd here in L.A. Apparently, part of the reason is it's giving the time to the producers to find some judges for the show.
Try and line up some judges.
I bet they're going to need in January when it goes on the air.
All right, there's another.
There's more auditions. Just keep auditioning.
Every Friday.
Yeah. Who? I mean, is it just Randy sitting in a room by himself?
Randy and Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler.
Oh, Steven Tyler's been doing them so far?
Wow.
And according to TMZ, not Paul Abdul. Jennifer Lopez is like a still considered.
Oh, really?
Very close.
Still in the running?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is weird. Because I heard on the showbiz beat that she was out because of all of her ridiculous
demands. Yeah.
Salary alone apparently was prohibitive. That's what I heard. I heard Conan was going to call the show Conan. What do I know?
Well, that's why I double checked.
And this is horrible, horrible news on so many levels. On the set of Transformers 3, did you hear about this accident they had on the set yesterday?
No.
Apparently, there was a 24-year-old woman, and she was an extra, named Gabriela Cedillo. And they were filming a scene. She was behind the windshield of her own Toyota. She was using her own vehicle on the set. She was also an extra. And there was a cable stretched between two vehicles that snapped.
Oh.
And that cable whipped around and sliced through her car in through the windshield, and she was struck by the cable.
Oh.
She was immediately airlifted to a local hospital and is currently in critical condition. And they're not sure if she's going to make it or not, but it was a horrific accident.
Mm.
Sometimes those steel cables, when they're stretched taut and then they snap,
can
be devastating.
It's strong enough to go through a car.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, of course, everybody in the set is concerned and pulling for her, but it was a horrible tragedy and just one of those accidents. But you don't think that when you're going to be an extra on a movie.
No.
And you're excited about being on a set and being in Transformers 3 and tell all your friends to look for you when they see it and stuff, and then that kind of thing happens. So,
although they are breaking the budget with the special effects by having to bring her own car.
That's true.
That's nice.
Would have been. She was paid $25 a day as an extra. I'm sorry. She got SAG minimum wage for the extra job, and then $25 a day extra for the use of her own vehicle. So,
well, that should cover whatever medical bills result from.
Hardly seems worth it.
Ouch.
And Martha Stewart says she would like to be considered for the next big interview show.
No.
Now that Larry King and Barbara Walters are
retiring. A lot of negativity coming from Kevin's side of the table. But
seriously. She says, who's going to take their place as the serious great interviewer?
Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart said, I'm throwing my name in the ring.
No.
America said, we're throwing your name back to you. No word on whether Martha caught her own name or not, whether it just dropped to the floor. Word is Pat O'Brien may have dropped it. He may have caught it, but then dropped that name. So let's wait and see.
I don't know about Martha, but I am looking forward to Piers Morgan if he does indeed take over for Larry King. I think that's a great choice.
Well, we all are. I guess.
I only care about that position when they're old and crazy.
Yeah, that makes it way more fun.
Yeah, that sure has provided us with some entertainment for Larry over the
years.
Joan
Rivers or something. Just go right for old and crazy.
Her. Did you hear the latest about Joan?
No.
She went to the producers of Dancing with the Stars and said, I want to be on.
No.
That's what they said. And she went off.
How would they not let her on?
Saying, I could perfectly fit their old lady category. They always have an old lady. So F them. F these producers, she was saying in an interview. So.
She's such a delicate little flower.
She surely is.
Love her.
She's Snooki all grown up. That's what she is. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Todd Lewis of the Toadies. I got some emails asking for Toadie love, believe it or not.
No, I don't believe it.
It's true.
That's an option. You gave me an option of not believing
it. He's the guitarist for the Toadies.
No.
He is. You're getting a lot of use out of that button today.
Peter Griffin, on fire.
He is 45 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen celebrates his 45th birthday. Softball player Jenny Finch.
Yeah.
Is 30 years old, and Olympic gold medalist Shaun White celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's a long weekend, of course. Monday, we will have Harvey Levin from TMZ.
And Harvey Keitel.
And Harvey Keitel. And Bean tells us about his high school reunion.
Stone Bogart that joint, my friend. Harvey has it over to me.
I like me.
Harvey Korman.
No! Stone Bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
PJ Harvey.
Right there, man.
PJ Harvey.
Roll another one.
Why are you wasting our time?
Just like the other one.
Asshole.
This one seems to be about to quit.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
And I need another hit.
The reason why I like the hotel.
hotels because it's a 5-star or 4-star hotel and it's very clean. And then the girls are just so beautiful. 5859.
No.
For 69.
Oh, just like the other one.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
This one seems to be around today.
Wieners are hazardous to your health.
I don't have another chance.
Yeah, but I'm a murderer. I'm a
murderer. I'm a mom. But I don't want that joint.
This is getting weird on this show.
Just pass it around.
I got a taco right here.
This is weird. Can I go home now?
Hey, for a lot of deal, we gotta show some love for all the fighters tonight, man. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good, man. We still gonna have the after party. Holla at you, boy.
Isn't there some way you guys can leave? Can't you go now?
Hey, guys. I'd just like to say, you, Kevin. You, Dean. You, Ralph. You, Omar. You, King of Mexico. Lisa May, you're cool. You, Psycho Mike. I'm out.
Okay, by my watch, it's Margarita o'clock.